Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Bob Kincaid, 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bycod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Broadcasting live from the sunny Southern Command, with one half my brain tied behind my back, talent on loan from God, I'm your warm and fuzzy El Bobbo, and I am here to tell you, my friends, that only John McCain can lead us to that happy place in America's bright future, where we all travel on automobiles with deflated tires because we have thrown away our tire gauges. What are you saying?
Get out!
Well, howdy! Sorry, I think that was the OxyContin talking a minute ago. Powerful stuff. Tough night last night. Sorry about the early bailout. I'm Bob. Had to quit early because it felt like a little tiny Rocky Balboa was living in my back, just punching the daylights out of my right kidney, screaming, Adrian! And so I hide myself hence to the local practitioner of the medical arts at a certain emergency room where they fired me up. And I mean, Lord God, they fired me up with some, 100 proof Rush Limbaugh approved opiate medication. I'm just now sobering up, and as you can tell, I don't think complete sobriety has been achieved yet. So I can't guarantee how the rest of the evening. My friends, did you know that Barack Obama's mother was a dragon, an atheist dragon with sharp, nasty teeth, and I see her when I start to come down from my it's going to be tough tonight, I can tell. You know, that stuff gets a hold of you, and it's hard to make it turn loose, because it's highly effective. I mean, when that stuff kicked in intravenously last night, I mean to tell you, I could have staggered across burning coals and not felt it. I felt like something out of a Star Trek episode. Well, there's our obligatory Star Trek reference for the night. Yeah, I felt like something out of a Star Trek episode. I think the most violence Bob would be capable of right now is taking up knitting. It was... they call me Mellow Bobby. Oh, cool. Agnes, have you ever noticed the pattern on the light diffuser of the fluorescent tubes? Oh, wow. That's so cool. What, we're going for a CT scan? Oh, awesome. Oh, wow, the CT scanner is a Toshiba? So's my laptop, dude. Yeah, long night. Really, really and for true.
What are you people, on dope?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I was.
I'm so wasted!
Really? And grateful for it. That's ugly, ugly pain, and I don't ever want to have it again. The good news is, they didn't see any stones. Kidney stones. The bad news is, they didn't see any kidney stones. So, I brought home this little funnel with a screen on the end of it that, well, you don't want to know the particulars of, you don't want to know. No. No. But I learned a new word. And, you know, this may be too much information, but I just, it's always been my position on this to be candid with you and tell you what's going on and stuff. I learned a new word last night. And the new word I learned was malrotated bowel. Nobody's ever seen this in me before. But apparently, and, you know, you learn all kinds of stuff when you go to the hospital. Apparently, when you have a CT done in the middle of the night, before you can say so much as, hey, where'd that thing go? It is electronically off over the inner tubes to a waiting radiologist somewhere in India, who then reads it and dictates his response in perfect English and sends it back to the ER doctor, who explained to me that the CT indicated something called malrotated bowel, which is apparently a birth defect, which is very, very dangerous for little infants, but which I just apparently slid right past, or else haven't read any literature about it being sort of spontaneously developed. But the doctor explained it to me, and through my opium-induced haze, I looked at him and said, Doc... You mean I'm ass backwards? And he said, he smiled, and he said, well, yes, sir, in a matter of speaking, you are. Yes, yes. So it probably explains a whole bunch of stuff that I've been going through for the last 3, 4, 5, 6 months. And he sent me home with enough, with the home game version of the same stuff I had been given, so that should little Rocky Balboa begin pummeling my kidney again, then I'll be able to do something besides curl up on the bed in the fetal position and sweat like a pig and moan a lot. So we got that going for me. I've also got an appointment, and the reason for all of this is to let you know I may not be here Thursday evening, because I've got one of those work-in appointments. They said, you know, call ye the surgeon the minute you wake up and tell him I said for you to call and for him to see you, and yada, you know, gave me the secret lodge high sign and the handshake and everything. So I was told they would work, and you've been through this when the doctor's office says, we'll work you in. It always makes me afraid that there are going to be, you know, levers involved and stuff. But they'll work me in on Thursday. They told me to be there at 10:30 in the morning, which means I'll probably get seen sometime around midnight. But I'm bringing a book. I'm rereading a wonderful book by Carl Hiaasen called, this is the fluff stuff. And by fluff, I don't mean it's poorly written. It's just enjoyable reading. A gorgeous, gorgeous book by Carl Hiaasen called Stormy Weather. It's a laugh a page. And so I read some last night, and that was the cool stuff. All the pain went away, and I was hired, and God, but by the same token, I could comprehend written English. Better living through chemistry. Wow. My friends, do you understand that Barack Obama is an elitist? He is such an elitist that he is the one who sees America's future entire I'm learning to control it a little bit better. They're better now. No, but there are a jillion things to talk about last night. I'm still blown away by the conversation we had with Brad Friedman last night, pulling together all the disparate pieces of the Bruce Ivins saga. And if you recall, a month or so ago, our pop culture correspondent, David from Maine, called in and suggested that when a story hits dig, we need to go and click dig it for all we're worth. And I think he has a point. And as such, if you go to dig.com, I suppose, and if you register and if you sign up, you can go and find a story. It's the link to the Brad blog story, as a matter of fact. Purported anthrax killer was a registered Democrat. Just search that on Dig, and you'll find it there with the opportunity. You'll find a comment from the hardest working man in liberal talk, Ben Birch, there already. But if you go to Dig and look up purported anthrax killer was a registered Democrat, you can dig it and drive it higher on the list. And maybe that what he said, seeking shameless publicity. My friends, there is no such thing as bad publicity. I got to agree with that one. But you can dig it and drive it a little bit higher, and maybe who knows what. We'll see the story get a few more legs. I heard from Brad Friedman earlier today. He told me that Glenn Greenwald at Salon had picked up his story with our scoop in it, and that it was getting a lot of views over at Salon. So, you know, that's a cool thing. And that there more and more things just don't make sense out of that story. But I would be remiss if I did not consider that today's top story must be the fact that Barack Obama's not... Sorry. Today's top story simply has to be the advance information coming out of the Ron Suskind book. The name of the book, of course, The Way of the World, A Story of Truth and Hope in an Age of Extremism. And there is a story in there about the letter from Habush. Can't make this stuff up. He's not George's alter ego. Yeah, over there in the land between the rivers, they call me Habush. No, see, it's not like that. No, this is a former Saddam administration official who became a Bush administration official for all intents and purposes. He was under protective custody from the CIA. And the Bush White House ordered Mr. Habush to write a backdated letter to Saddam Hussein. No, really, they're dummying up correspondence, just like they dummied up the Niger letter. Remember that? Sure. Like I said last night, the Ivins anthrax story sort of forces us, and then this book comes out, and the scab over all those nasty separating wounds just ow gets pulled right off, and we have to look at it all over again. But that's okay with me. Maybe this time we'll look at it with a degree of honesty. Yeah, Saddam's intelligence chief, Mr. Habush, dummied up a letter, backdated it from late 2003 to July 2001, and it basically says that, well... Jesus, Huh.
you read this stuff and it beggars belief. They really did this. After he wrote the letter, Habush was paid $5 million of your dollars, it's your money, for having written this fraudulent letter. Man, some of those offers that wind up in the spam box must be true. Just amazing. All about how... All about phony garbage, idiotic, stupid stuff that nobody in their right mind would believe. Except the American for-profit media, of course. Tahir Jalil Habush al-Tikriti, who was the former head of the intelligence service in Iraq. And this is, do you remember, even after all the weapons of mass destruction stuff had been disproved, the little hopping up and down wing nuts would scream, "Well, but Mohammed Atta, he done went to Baghdad, and he done trained with Saddam Hussein, taught him everything he knowed over at Abu Nidal's base there in Baghdad. See, Saddam Hussein, he's the one what really attacked us on 9/11. Only the whole thing was dummied up. The whole thing was a fake. The whole thing was a fraud. The whole thing was a con game. It was the letter contains this business about a 3-day work program. Yeah, it was a working lunch. Yes, a working lunch. A 3-day working lunch for Mohammed Atta at Abu Nidal's base in Baghdad. And then there's it's believed to be a uranium shipment sent to Iraq by way of Libya and Syria. That's in the letter, too. And it's all just phony. And now, via Ron Suskin's book, we know how it got phony. It got phony at the direct, the direct instigation and connivance of the Bush White House. I know you're sick of hearing me say it. I'm sick of saying it. But can we not get one blue dress out there with an icky little stain on it? Could we get Mr. Habush to put the blue dress on with the stain? And then maybe somebody in Congress would be interested in impeachment. You know, I value Mr. Suskin's work, and I really appreciate the hard work he put into it. At one point, his research assistant was detained and interrogated by the FBI for doing, journalism. I've got the perfect cover for him next time. Anybody else working on this book? Sir, what are you working on?
I'm working on an investigative journalism piece about missing white women who are chewed up by sharks that are controlled by Britney Spears.
Go on your way, please. Thank you, citizen. 9/11.
9/11, sir!
But no, he was working on information for this research for this book, and he got shaken down by national security thugs for seeking truth. For seeking truth. And we can't impeach this man. You know, our buddy David Swanson, who was on the program earlier, made note of the fact that CNN just made a mockery of the hearings, the impeachment hearings that took place a week ago last Friday. In fact, it was... listen to this language from CNN. I don't have the audio. I'm just going to run it for you. The Election Center program, July 25th, completely treated as irrelevant the impeachment hearings held in the Judiciary Committee at the insistence of Dennis Kucinich and with the final consent of Nancy Pelosi and John Conyers. And so Election Center host Campbell Brown, you know who Campbell Brown is? David Swanson told me who Campbell Brown is. Campbell Brown is the wife of Dan Senor, who is a former Bush administration official. Really. And David asks the very trenchant question, during Watergate, would the Washington Post have allowed a former Reagan or a former Nixon administration flack, someone married to a former Nixon administration flack, to do the principal, to do reporting? No. On Watergate? No. But Campbell Brown said regarding the impeachment hearing,
believe it or not, there was a congressional hearing today about impeaching the president. It was all stagecraft, though.
And then she introduces this garbage piece by CNN correspondent Erica Hill and says,
now, tell us about this piece of Kabuki theater, Erica. And what were they wearing? What will be chic for impeachment next year? Say if there's a Democrat in the White House. What will people be wearing for impeachment next year? And what did they serve at the, refreshments table? Tell us about this piece of Kabuki theater, this piece of stagecraft, Erica. Hmm?
Jesus Christ. At the end of the report, Campbell Brown, who owes part of her existence to the reputation crafted by somebody who worked for the Bush administration, I mean, it just is what it is. Erica Hooserface closes the report and she says,
all right, so this is really just stagecraft. That's the second time I've mentioned it because that's the talking points I got from the Republican National Committee. This is just stagecraft, not to mention a real waste of taxpayer money and Congress's time. Okay, great. Ready, okay. We love Bush.
Jesus. Jesus, Mary and Joseph. And never is heard a discouraging word, and the White House is not cloudy all day. Let's have a run at the phones and see if somebody's still there. Ah, they ran off on me. Daggum it! I got to get my hands on the Susskind book. I just do. I'm rendered almost speechless. Almost speechless by this matter. Here is a guy who gets caught smack dab, red-handed, George Bush, dummying up evidence for the love of God.
And it's just stagecraft. If an interesting monster doesn't deserve an interesting hairdo, I don't know what the world's coming to. Bobby pins, please. I was just telling my girlfriend the other day down at the shop that, it's stagecraft. Holding a rogue criminal administration responsible for its actions. It's all just kabuki theater.
Just blows my tiny mind. Well, let's try the phones again. Hi, welcome to the program.
Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
Well, if anybody wants to see that Brad blog thing, it's also up at Head On Radio on the main page.
Okay. Sorry, I only crawled out of my opiate-driven haze just in time to get the show started, so I hadn't been to the main page yet, so wonderful.
Aren't drugs wonderful things?
No, I don't like them, Susan. I don't like them at all. I mean, I kid a lot about, I'm going to stick a straw in the liquor bottle and stuff like that, but you know, most of the time I like living in reality. I guess that's what makes me a liberal. I'm able to, you know, I'm able to tolerate reality.
Well, so am I, but, you know, if the alternative is excruciating pain, I'm going to grab the drugs every time.
Oh, yeah, I know. But, yeah, no, I get that part. I mean, not being curled up in a ball of writhing agony, a lot to be said for it.
Yep.
It's just the sober up part that's tough. And so
that's the drag.
You know, as it stands, I'm sitting here, I'm sitting here just hoping that I don't get repossessed by Flush Flemball again. And I can't guarantee it, you know, because this is strong medicine, and it makes you say insane crap.
Well, if necessary, Agnes and I will get together and we'll do an exorcism. You don't have to worry about it. No, we'll dry them out. I did want to mention something that will probably give you a real giggle.
Yes?
It was the story that was on yesterday's Huffington Post. The Oregon Republican Party is, besides the usual problems this cycle is giving it, it's also having a severe problem. The challenger for my congressman's seat is giving the party fits. He has endorsed not only Barack Obama for president, but he has also endorsed the Democratic challenger for the Republican senator's seat.
Gordon Smith?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sweet. Can't buy
things are bad.
Yeah, can't buy that stuff. I just want to. Yeah.
And this is the guy who everybody admits hasn't really got a prayer of winning. And that's what makes it so funny.
So he's just purge himself of guilt for purposes of what?
I honestly don't know. I don't know whether he's doing it for just because he wants to be obnoxious or what. But the Republican Party's having hissy fits.
Well, good on him. It's always fun to watch a bilious gas bag right winger turn purple.
I want to pick the next color, Hubie. He's turning plaid.
I tell you, Susan, these drugs take my mind in really, really, really weird places.
Anyway, I thought you would get a giggle out of that because, you know, there's nothing more fun than watching a right winger just.
Yeah, watching a snake swallow its tail.
Well, I was thinking swell up like a toad and explode.
No, exploding toads are strictly the province of George W. Bush. Let's remain clear on that.
You got a point there. I don't happen to have any.
He's got the franchise on it, Susan.
Yeah, I have to give him that. Ugh.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway. Is Peter going to be live tonight?
No, Peter will not be live tonight. He's still sort of recuperating from a rather miserable bit of business that he's had to have out in the working world. And that, you know, he has to take some downtime to get to feeling better. His throat's all scratchy and icky, and, you know, he sounds like a mafia. I talked to him. He sounds like a mafia don right now. Bob! Yeah, no.
Okay. Peter, if you're listening, I'm sending pixie dust.
Very good. Very good. There's no such thing as too much pixie dust.
Right. Well, anyway, you get my love to Agnes, and we shall try and keep...
I sure will, because she was with me at the ER last night, and she's sort of running on empty today, and she doesn't have the benefit of all the opiates that I do. We both got home about 4 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time with the first...
Yeah, isn't it... Yeah, aren't ERs fun? You just, you know, budget a minimum 6 hours. Absolutely.
Oh, they got me right in there and stuff, but I mean, you gotta wait. You gotta wait for the dude in India to read the CT report, and then he emails it back, and yeah.
It still takes a minimum of 6 hours. I don't care if you get it. I walk around with a sheet of paper that says, "Do not let this woman wait in the waiting room. You take her in just like she's got a heart attack."
Yeah.
Yep. So they take me right back. I still end up minimum 6 hours. More.
No, see, we got there, and I was doing the one foot onto the other dance when I was standing there trying to get registered and seen it. And I finally looked and said, "Listen, I'm not trying to be pushy or anything, but could you get somebody to bring out a specimen cup? Because sooner or later, you're going to ask me to, and this may be your one good chance."
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and I actually got, "Hey, good thinking. Thanks for thinking of that." I was like, "Ooh, do I get a sticker? I remembered to pee."
Like a lollipop?
No, no lollipops. No fruit cup.
Well, Crumb.
I did get a little thing of cranberry juice on the way home because, you know, you kind of have to stay NPO till they're sure that they're not going to carve you like a Christmas goose. And it's just protocol. But I finally got one of those little institutional-sized peel-back-the-foil lid things of cranberry juice. And, you know, stupid me, I'm a label reader. And now something as sacrosanct as cranberry juice cocktail. Of course, when you see the word cocktail, you know it's not all juice. You know it's sugared up. But I look on it, and there it is. Water. High fructose corn syrup. Damn it. Not in the cranberry juice, too. So earlier today, in my opiate-induced haze, I fired off a "can't you people just buy some damn sugar" email to the fine folks at Ocean Spray. "Don't you know that high fructose corn syrup is a product of corporate welfare that's made from proprietary processes that are and may be part of the rising diabetes problem in the United States? Sincerely yours," you know, junked out of my mind and pissed off.
It'll be interesting to see.
I don't know who all I emailed. I may have started to establish a relationship with that widow in Nigeria with the oil trust revenue funds. I may be rich by tomorrow. I don't know.
Oh, so, if you are, be sure to share the wealth.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I'm one of those people. Susan, you have yourself a wonderful evening.
Tonight I'm home.
Take care.
Okay.
Bye. To be honest, I've lived a relatively healthy life. I mean, knock wood, quickly. No broken bones. No major surgeries. No major diseases. Oh, that was plastic. There. Okay, we got the wood. And so a trip into the emergency room is like a trip to another planet for me. And they have you look at that little scale, and they say, "Okay, from 1 to 5, where is your pain?" And one is a smiley face, and the other one is a complete frowny face, and there are variations of increasing unhappiness to between the two. And you know, don't try to. I guess most people go 3. I looked at her and I said, "You know, I mean, 4.3218. Bless her heart, she's sitting there running 4.3218 on pain scale. Don't do that to me. Don't offer me room for flexibility. Ask me how bad it hurts, and I will describe it to you in very, very, very good English. Because it just happens to, and they had a wonderful staff there, the lovely, caring individuals. But don't ask me for detail. I mean, as compared to what? So, that, you know, and a half. Yes, Lottie, and a half. On a month with R in it. No R in it. Lottie understands. Lottie understands in the chat room what I'm talking about. Bring me the slide rule. Get me the graphing calculator with reverse Polish notation, and we'll figure out the exact number for my pain. But I don't know. There may be yet another adventure somewhere in my future like this, and I don't want to. The ongoing saga of I really hate it when they screw with my pleasures. Did you see this today? There's been the whole thing about Brett Favre decided not to retire, and apparently when you retire from the NFL, they pass laws and build monuments and they strike your name from the rolls, and it's like the opening credits to the old branded television series, and Yul Brynner stands up from the Ten Commandments and says, "Let no longer the name of Brett Favre be spoken in the land of Packer." Well, so Brett Favre decided he wanted to be a football player at least for another year or two. And he was restored to the Green Bay Packers roster yesterday. But now he and the Packers are in what is being called a stalemate about his future with the team. So, the Green Bay Packers, the Green Bay Wisconsin Packers, the Green Bay Packers that are a publicly owned team, the only one, have hired, you guessed it, Ari Fleischer as a consultant for 1 month to help them sort out the Brett Favre problem. I hate it. I hate it. Well, it's a little bit like what Wayne said a few nights ago. Wayne is losing sleep nights worrying about the prospect of Flush Flemball making a play for the Steelers, because there are two members of the owning family that want to get rid of it and make maximum boku bucks, and there are two members of the Rooney family that want to maintain Rooney family tradition and maintain ownership of the Steelers. And Flush Flemball has said he wants to be an NFL owner. And it really, really does interfere with one's ability to enjoy what I've been told is a vapid, mindless pastime and a diversion of the attention of the masses. But I still like football. And because it's just how my brain works, now every time I think of the Green Bay Packers, I will have that image appear in my head of that snaky-looking, beady-eyed, smarmy, disingenuous, lying little piece of right-wing garbage, Ari Fleischer, in association with the Green Bay Packers. It's the same thing that happens to me when I try to watch my beloved Mountaineers and I'm subjected to Friends of Coal ads, the Fockers. Friends of Coal. And I hate that. I just despise that. Taking something like that away. Ari Fleischer. I mean, come on. There wasn't anybody else out there? I mean, I know you were desperate for help there, Green Bay Packers management and everything, but you must have really been scraping the bottom of the rotten mackerel barrel to come up with Ari Fleischer. What experience does he have? What's he going to do? Step out front and say that Brett Favre is trying to produce weapons of mass destruction or obtain yellow cake uranium from Niger? I mean, that's pretty much Ari Fleischer's only real talent, is lying. So, I guess the Green Bay Packers management, ownership, whatever, have guaranteed themselves a great deal of skepticism with the Packer fans, the Packer nation, the Packer faithful, the cheeseheads are going to have to go through some sort of schadenfreude-driven game whereby they try to discern what it is that Ari Fleischer is saying about the Brett Favre situation and try to determine whether or not that is a lie. I give it a week and a half before Jeff Gannon's name shows up on the visitor log there at Packers summer camp headquarters. Just coming to ask hardball questions of Ari Fleischer. Hardball questions. Yeah. What was it Ari once said about his parents? They're both Democrats and they consider that being a Republican is just slightly better than being a drug dealer, and only slightly. Well, in Ari Fleischer's position, I kind of identify with Mr. and Mrs. Fleischer. You know, you work so hard to raise a child, and then they turn, and then, yeah. You know, it's like, please don't tell my mother I'm a lawyer. She thinks I'm a piano player in a whorehouse. Wow. Okay, I'm getting straightened up a little bit. This is just hitting the political news scene, but I'm being told that Ari was hired to help craft public awareness in a positive way months and months before Favre did his fourth over and back. Packer general manager was quoted, "Well, now we'll damn sure get our money's worth." Now. So, in other words, it's actually worse, I'm told. The beloved Packers wanted Ari Fleischer before Brett Favre went all cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs. Nice. And the I'm informed here that any woman can tell you the pain scale goes from no pain to the worst being the labor pains for a 30-pound child in transition. For you guys, it's something like being gutted with a dull knife. No, it's kind of like having kidney stones. Because, and of course, nobody can imagine anybody else's pain. But Agnes even looked at me and said, childbirth, kidney stones, give me the childbirth. So, yeah, but the pain scale, no, the pain scale doesn't, no, there's no words there. It's little Walmart smiley face on one end and little Walmart what you really look like when you realize how badly you've been screwed on the other end at 5. 1, 5. And oh. But how did we get here? Okay, I'm talking too much about me. We'll get past some of this. Now, opening up the program, when I was briefly possessed by Flush Flimball because of the opiates that are still flowing through my system, I noted, America needs to throw its tire gauges away. Well, America needs to throw its tire gauges away because the Republican Party is going to give them all a new tire gauge. No, really, not kidding. Wish I was. Check this out. This is a compilation provided by the fine folks at Think Progress, thinkprogress.org, Center for American Progress. This is a compilation provided by them of this sleazy little tour that Old 894 went on today, Old 894 being my personal reference for John the McCain-Churian candidate. Yeah, he's decided, I don't care who you are, that's funny, that business about reinflating your tires properly instead of drilling offshore, that's funny.
Earlier, the Republican candidate slammed Obama and drilled Congress at a motorcycle rally in South Dakota.
May I say to you, is there anybody that's tired of paying $4 $4 a gallon for gas?
Oh dear, I think he had some of what I had. Anybody here tired of paying $4 a gallon for gas? Where's my insurer?
Selene, is there anybody that's sick and tired of it? Is there anybody that wants to become energy independent? Well, I'm telling you right now, we're sending $700 billion over a year, and your Congress just went on vacation for 5 weeks. Tell them to come back and get to work. tell them to get to work. When I'm president of the United States, I'm not going to let them go on vacation. They're going to become energy independent, and we're not going to pay $4 a gallon for gas because we're going to drill offshore, and we're going to drill now. And we're going to drill here, and we're going to drill now.
You hear the roaring in the background? This is in Sturgis, South Dakota, at the annual Harley-Davidson ride-in or whatever. And they're, amen, Brother John. Vroom, vroom, vroom. Oh, dear.
My opponent doesn't want a drill. He doesn't want nuclear power. He wants you to inflate your tires.
Earlier in Pennsylvania, McCain had this to say.
We're not going to achieve energy independence by inflating our tires.
That's right, my friends. When I was a young man, we didn't even have rubber tires. Our wagon wheels had iron hoops on them, and we rode on those iron hoops flat. Inflating tires is nothing but a subterfuge for the fact that the best tire is the flat tire, just like the flat tax. I'm tired of paying $4 for a gallon of gas. I'm tired. Need a nap. Mommy, I'm tired. $4. $5. $6 a dozen. Tired of $4.
What is it with this bunch? I mean, it's a simple fact, and those raving liberals, the auto industry, pointed out, this is the Auto Alliance, which the Auto Alliance represents Chrysler and Ford and GM, among others. The Auto Alliance pointed out that, let's see, proper tire inflation can save the equivalent of about a tank of gas a year. At this point in time, for me, that's about $140 a tank of gas. Yeah, I'm game for that. For every 3 pounds per square inch that tires are underinflated, fuel efficiency goes down by 1%. According to the Department of Energy, at 1.2 billion gallons of fuel, that's about ANWR's. That's about a day of ANWR. 1.2 billion gallons of fuel were wasted in 2005 because of people driving on underinflated tires. And, here's a bonus. Properly inflated tires also reduce CO2 emissions. Hooray! Now, with all of that going before, reduce CO2 emissions, save a tank of gas a year, fuel efficiency gets cut by 1% for every 3 pounds per square inch that tires are underinflated. 1.2 billion gallons of fuel were wasted in 1 year by underinflated tires. Now, compare. It is estimated that 25% of automobiles on the highway today in the United States are running on tires with lower than recommended pressure. Do the math. Do it yourself, because I'm not capable of it this evening. But it's all just big old joke. It's a big old joke, John McCain. I'm tired of paying $4 a gallon. You got to wonder when this guy's going to get serious. And you got to wonder about those people. Vroom, vroom, Brother John, vroom, vroom. What a lovely, lovely way to evince your agreement with the candidate, the McCain-Churian candidate, by forcing some more fuel through your machine's system while it's sitting still. Can't argue with that kind of logic. Can't really fathom that kind of logic. Blows my mind. Did he bother to tell those people out in Sturgis that they won't see any savings at the gas pump for about 10 years? Nah, wouldn't want to do that. That would be honest. And honesty is not something that the Repig-Licking Party does very well now, is it? Last week, the Auto Alliance sponsored tire pressure checks for members of Congress and their staff. What did they find? Most drivers had tires between 5 and 7 pounds underinflated. Some of them were underinflated by as much as 20 pounds. So, let's see. This is all funny. It's a joke. And in the Purple Heart Band-Aid tradition of the Repig-Licking Party, they're mailing out little dummy tire pressure gauges to people to remind them. Wow, what did Kathy Hilton say about using Paris and Brittany in that last ad that John McCain ran? What did she say? She said it was a stupid waste of the money that people had donated to the McCain campaign. Yeah. Same thing. Can you imagine that you've donated to a political party and the political party has been in turn going to mail out tire pressure gauges to mock your opponent's good sense? Got it. Wow. But just as you heard the engines on the motorcycles go vroom vroom, there's a lot of Americans that think, well, that's just funny that Obama, he's telling us to put more air in our tires. Dang, that's funny. He ain't very smart. That John McCain, he's a smart one. He graduated 894th out of a class of 899. That's some smart. That's reminds me of my days, graduating from, yeah, Lordy. Really, it's the Purple Heart Band-Aid. This is it. Making fun of fuel economy in the face of a national crisis over fuel economy. Can't beat them Repig-Lickens. Let's go to the phones. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, hello, Bob. Welcome back.
Well, thank you.
From wherever the dragon took you last night.
You know, I chased that dragon halfway over Nicholas County.
I'm laughing, but I shouldn't be. This business with the check the air pressure. First of all, one of the Republican governors that actually has a tiny bit of credibility left, I don't care for the man, the governor, Arnold, said the same thing within 48 hours of Obama saying it. And we're not hearing about that.
No.
And it scares me, Bob, and I'm serious about this. Yes, it is a silly, stupid statement for McCain to say, we don't need to do what we can do for free 10 minutes from now. We need to spend money, rape the condition of the earth in an area, offer profits to corporations that are way too profitable already. We need to do that, and it'll only bring some minor relief, a nickel on the gallon 10 years from now, and we should all laugh at a guy that says, if we all just had correct tire pressure and a fresh set of spark plugs, we'd use 1% to 2% less gasoline beginning within 48 hours. If as a nation we made that change. And the fact that the majority of Americans, by polling, now want offshore drilling, if you can create a bumper sticker phrase that appeals to somebody with the IQ function, not the real IQ, but the IQ function of about 60, it's going to resonate. Bob, it's frightening. It is frightening.
You know what? Yes, I agree, David. And you know what's more frightening? America has not always been this way.
No.
We have not always been this stupid. We have not always been this short-sighted. I think it was a week or so ago, it might even have been you and I talking about how long it takes for right-wing idiocy to seep into the sponge that is our collective consciousness.
I might have not been the only one, but yes, it was you and I, because we agreed that starting a generation ago, it's okay to hate, it's okay to be a bigot, it's okay to threaten death.
It's okay to laugh at smart things.
It's okay to laugh at cripples, and it's okay to damage at diseased people, because, well, poor people, they usually are.
Wow. Yeah, exactly. Well, and the point that I'm trying to make is that generation with which you are familiar and that generation with which I have been familiar by virtue of being children of that generation, both of us, that generation and the one before it engaged in a million tiny things, things that John McCain would laugh at. The generation that made it possible for John McCain's grandfather to be an admiral on board an aircraft carrier in the South Pacific and made it possible for food to get to the sailors aboard that aircraft carrier are funny to John McCain now. They're silly, because that generation would not throw away the lid off of a soup can, because that was steel.
That generation, they might not simply retie a broken shoestring. You know, there might be a grandmother that could figure out a way with a knitting needle to put the damn thing back together flawlessly.
Yeah, darn the shoestring. Literally.
Well, exactly. And Merrill, he makes light of such things, and he's downcasting on all of that. And there's another aspect of that generation. I guarantee you that if John McCain stood up and did this crap in Nashville, Tennessee, today, in 1958, there would be guys in snap-brim straw hats with a lit lucky between a couple of fingers and the other hand in the pocket, fondling a sharp knife that he always carried with him. They would be saying, "This old boy's talking out his butt." It would take about 30 minutes on the steps of the War Memorial Building in Nashville, Tennessee, for John McCain to talk himself 50 years ago straight into a hole. He couldn't make this crap play to that crowd. They would debunk his ass in minutes.
And see, but now in 2008 America, John McCain says this, and a bunch of what? Because, you know, it's not like the Hell's Angels and, you know, the Avengers and stuff go to Sturgis. These are accountants.
It's a nice crowd, Bob. It's a really nice crowd. The Hell's Angels and Bill O'Reilly kiss his ass and tell the world it's a good idea, smells great, tastes like chicken, and may I have another.
Yeah. And so you know, they sit there, vroom, vroom. But, you know, meanwhile... you know, what? What's next? I guess Toby Keith comes out and writes a ballad or a facetious song about tire gauges now.
No, it's worse than that. Keith was quoted today as saying the only reason anybody's taking Obama seriously because he looks and talks like a Caucasian. How's that working for you?
Yeah, that's a real beauty. I've even got the audio, and, you know, that's been out there for a week or more now. And
the surprise took that long to break.
And we're just now catching, and it's just now being caught. I mean, that was in my stack a week and a half ago or so.
Well,
and I just never got to it.
Selling, if Ford trucks were still selling well, it wouldn't have broken already. But now then, let's get to one more straight line on my part and one more point that I think is intensely relevant. Yesterday, late in the day, video started showing up, and it's out there again today. And that business of John McCain and Sturgis and stumbling through his words, in the last 36 hours, there has not been a spoken, cogent bit of video come out on that poor old man. I mean, he's minutes away from being 72. A woman in Florida says, "Please, sir, I want what you do for my mother. He's in the clear. It's hanging purple. It's a softball just waiting." And he stands on a stage in Florida doing the humana, humana, humana. And there's one camera angle, Bob. He's got makeup on. It's midday. It's daylight. He's got makeup. And he just doesn't look tired, Bob. He looks embalmed.
Well, I was about to say, let's be charitable. It's not makeup, David. It's mortician's wax.
Great minds wallow in the sun. No, I won't do that. All right, now then, we agree. In the last 36 hours, I'm not kidding. Obama looked tired when he came back from Europe, got off the plane, and did an interview. He wasn't sparkling. Okay, that's understandable. The man's done 3 appearances a day for 8 days, and, you know, jet lagged to the max.
In 10 time zones.
10 time zones, that ain't easy duty. I've never done more than 6, but it ain't easy duty. Now then, McCain's just waltzing around the United States. He's going from Eastern to Central, and he's got handlers propping him up, and he looks like he belongs, you know, horizontal with a bunch of white satin around him. And he and Obama and a bunch of Poles are dead even, Bob. I'm really scared. There's no reason. I mean, I think back to Dukakis being 17 up, thinking he was going to run away with it. They went dirty. Dukakis hits the gutter, and it's all over. What? We elected who? Wait a minute. Michael, where'd you go, Michael? No. All right, the hat looks wrong on the tank. Just, Michael, come back. And now.
Michael!
Come back!
Shane! Come back!
Exactly. I'm serious. Now, you and I have, you know, we've had our levity, and we're good at that. I think we're good at that. I like to think we're good.
We are. We are.
But it really, really, really gives, well, you've got real cramps. You know, I have a little distress here and there. But seriously, I got physical symptoms wondering, where the hell is America? These two people being within reach of each other now? McCain's looking like he ain't going to live till the election. That piece of shit may get voted in if he dies. He may be posthumously voted in as president the way the American public's paying attention right now.
That is terrifying. And equally terrifying are the potential vice presidential nominees. But, you know, David, they're doing the same thing that they always do. They take their weaknesses and turn them into their strengths. You know, high gas prices are not the fault of a bunch of liberals. But now, apparently, a majority of Americans have been convinced that, in fact, they are liberal gas prices. And some of this has to do with what you were talking about with Dukakis when you know, hey, where are you going? You know. It's that same kind of thing. And I am a little bit dismayed with the Obama campaign. Not dismayed, but just displeased.
Where the hell is the urgency? They're thinking about formulating a new plan about creating a new look. What the hell is that about? Did somebody throw a straight right, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, this is no time. And David, see what it does? This isn't the drugs. This is the frustration, all right?
I'm helping you. I'm helping you throw that stuff out of your system. You and I can keep flush outside the circle.
Yes, we can. Yes, we will. My friends, no. But yeah, what you said. Can nobody throw a straight right? This is no time for nuance. That when do we figure out it? Because, you know, I remember when John Kerry decided that there would be nothing negative said about George W. Bush. Yeah, because we're, you know, my friends, we are above that sort of thing. And when this kind of stuff comes out and the Obama campaign doesn't just punch him right in the face with it, I get nervous.
Oh, I do too. When I realized what triangulation was under William Jefferson Clinton, and when I saw where he co-opted 7 of the 10 Republican points that I didn't like a whole lot, all right, I had to just say, well, geez, oh, God, the country really is there, and if he co-opts them and at least takes the, you know, it takes some of the sharpness and the burrs, and it, maybe if it's a scalpel as opposed to, you know, a coarse saw blade, he won't tear America up too badly. And lo and behold, the economy came around. There was money. It was prosperity. Not too many things got screwed up. But old Bill, I guarantee you, you poke Bill, you're going to get poked back twice.
Yeah.
You know, it's like the best of the old school major league pitchers. Well, you hit one of mine. I hit one of yours.
We're going to play some chin music.
You hit one of mine. I'll hit one of yours. And one more to remind you not to do it again.
Yeah.
And that was Bill Clinton. And I bless him for that aspect.
You know, I really can't help reflecting, David, on the difference, and frankly, the difference has gotten more profound and not less in the ability of the right-wing echo chamber, noise machine, hate machine to affect the public dialogue. Because at the time that Bill Clinton, you know, 1992, when Bill Clinton was taking one of yours and giving you two back, there was no Fox News. There was no Fox News, and Sean Hannity was still a slimy thing running down his mama's leg for all intents and purposes.
He was a zip-faced kid. He didn't, at that point in time, he was a zip-faced kid that couldn't have found Huntsville, Alabama on a map if you put a gun to his head.
Right. But last night before they gave me the dope, all right, and this is a whole separate rant, actually.
You trying to create the set and the setting so that you could go to a good place when it kicked in?
I wish. Last night before, I was sitting in the waiting room of the ER, and they actually have the buttons punched out for changing the channels and changing the volume on the TV set in the waiting room. So that you can't turn it away from Fox.
Oh God!
And it just so happened that O'Reilly was on. No! Wait, we're not there yet. It's not time to get into the real big, you know, thumb your eyeballs out part of this. Because
it would just be four doubles.
So what happens is he's talking to Karl Rove about.
Oh God.
Yeah, oh, it just gets better and better and better. He's talking to Karl Rove about issues of sexuality. All right.
Oh, wait a second. Now I got to sit down. Oh, baby.
And he said, well, what if Newt Gingrich had been caught with a woman like that?
Like what?
It wasn't Monica, but it was, God, I'm sorry, the dope erased some of it, but.
Okay, well.
But it was a matter of castigating a Democrat. Oh, no, okay, it was John Edwards. It was the John Edwards non-story. You know, the unverified Edwards story that's out there? John Edwards fostered a bastard baby? That's where Fox has taken it now? And so.
Oh, God, they're making this. Ooh.
Yeah. And so O'Reilly is sitting there, you know, with himself with a rap sheet as long as your arm of, you know, wanting to rub a woman down with tasty Middle Eastern snack food.
The man created a lottery winner, you know, just with a few words in a hallway. No, way to go, Bill. Usually states have to create.
But then he says to Rove, what if Newt Gingrich had been caught in a situation like this? And Agnes actually had to pull me back down into the chair. Because I lost all control of my internal monologue at that point. And I suffered spontaneous acute Tourette's syndrome onset. Because I just, God damn it, he did! Because, you know, we all, and Agnes says, Bob, sit down, Bob. And I'm standing there like an old man with one hand on my kidney going, oh!
Your wife is saying, no, honey, we didn't come here for that. We came here for you to feel better.
Yeah. Honey, we want them to give you pain medication, not the antipsychotic meds, okay? Okay, great. But then, you know, I turned to Agnes and said, but Newt Gingrich, while they were with the Monica and the impeachment, Newt Gingrich left his wife for an intern that he was banging like a cheap Chinese gong. And, honey, please settle down. Settle down, honey. Please.
Is that the wife that was struggling with cancer when he ditched her, or was that the one?
No, that's the next one.
He dumped the wife with cancer
because he was running around with an intern at the same time the Monica thing was going on. And Bill O'Reilly's viewers are sitting there going, yeah, that's right, Bill, that's right. If that had been Newt Gingrich, we'd have never heard the end of it. And so, like I said, The impact of the expanding right-wing media cannot be underestimated. And when you couple that with an unwillingness to fight back, you get real trouble.
Expanding? What's that, 2370-1? We still need that bumper sticker.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
We got to be some kind of speaker to fight them to a damn draw. In 1 hour, if they got 2370 to kick our ass around the block.
Yeah, we need to hire some physicists to work on that whole, you know, time compression thing. It's gonna take some doing.
We gotta be piling our stuff into the most ultimate mega on steroid zip file going, so that when you tug on that baby, stuff comes out of there like a whole bunch of little aliens, positive, caring, liberal, progressive aliens, but something's got to happen.
I would far prefer to have told you this over, you know, sitting across from you at the bar or something with a couple of fingers of a lovely brown 80 proof in a glass somewhere, because, you know, that's the one, you know, when I say, and then he said, Newt, you know, what if they'd done it to Newt Gingrich, and that's where both glasses just go, gone.
Yeah, globe. Barkeep?
Yeah, more the same. Leave the bottle.
Yeah, just put the hand in the air and wave it, you know, with the finger up, go around again, and then hold up two fingers.
Yeah.
Bring us two each, would you please?
And it ain't even a happy hour yet.
Oh, screw happy hour. We're serious here, boys.
A little bit later, they get that intravenous fun stuff going through me, and I'm still looking at Agnes going, could you believe that? He actually said, wow, man.
Yeah, that was the indicator that you had finally relaxed, is when, you know, Falafel Boy became the second and then the third and then the fourth topic that you were bringing up. Because I know, you know, I understand being a sensory junkie, and you've got stuff going through your head all the time in levels and waves and, oh, my gracious. So it probably took a heck of a dose. I mean, it was on that border of being like horse tranks that, like, get you off the O'Reilly kick.
Oh, they hung the saline stuff, and then they hung a little piggyback bag beside it. It wasn't like they took a little bolus needle and went, no.
Oh, wow.
No, I got a second party bag.
You got, oh, could we supersize you on this one, Mr. Kincaid?
And I want fried with that.
I want fried. That's ED on the end, not ES, boys.
Oh, God. Thank you, David. I appreciate it.
Before this is over, I want to see sounds and hear words. Thank you very much.
And I did. I really, really did.
Congratulations and welcome back, boss. Now I'll get out of the way and let the real callers have their way.
Talk to you later.
Yeah.
Bye. I want to see sounds and hear words, and I did, and dream dreams and had visions and all kinds of tremulous things. Hey, welcome to the program.
Well, Bob, it's Dave in Northern California.
Hey, Dave, how are you?
Well, not great, because I still can't have an intelligent conversation with you, because I am, again, blocked out of the Listen Live. I've downloaded Windows and Reel and QuickTime and Winamp, and none of them will let me listen live to Head On Radio Network, and I'm also blocked from going on the chat room. So I listened for a little while just on the phone, and we got some outrageous people heading our government right now. and I think I'm not sharing any surprising news with you on that matter.
No, but it bears repeating, Dave. It truly bears repeating.
I would think that we've been down the road far enough on this Iraq WMD that it's not many people that are going to go down it again on Iran, but some are, and they are trying to sell it again.
Oh, yeah, and the news that comes out today, like I said at the beginning of the program, the news that comes out today with Ron Suskind's book, that they were sitting there paying $5 million for a fraudulent letter. You know, Dave, that's got to be a crime. It's just got to be a crime.
Well, it's more of a crime, I think, that those people who won't let impeachment come on off the table, that are accomplices after the fact to that crime, that are not going to hold them accountable, those who have their hands out to the same big special interest and say, thank you, and no, I won't do anything to take your sugar daddies away from you. You know, that's, to me, as big a crime as the principal criminals that are robbing us blind. That's my view.
I'm not gonna argue with you about it, because I think there's a profound level of truth in it. There's a moral and philosophical argument that the enablers and the collaborators are as bad or worse than the actual perpetrators.
It couldn't happen with honest, competent Speaker of the Estate, Speaker of the House, saying, we will not put up with your crazy criminal behavior. We will at least try to hold you accountable. She won't even do that. No effort will be made. Because we couldn't do it if we tried, is what she says. And I say, you try anyway to do the right thing. Can you try? And she's, no, she can't do that. And I don't know where to make of John Gunn. He has fleeting moments. It sounds like he's probably really wanting to do the right thing. But when the time comes, what hole does he jump in? What rock did he pull in front of his cave? I don't know. It's weird.
And I'm getting, I just got a message from our chat room moderator, ELO, who is asking you, because she has emailed you repeatedly.
Yeah, it's not coming through to me.
She is asking you to please check your spam folder, because it may have been misdirected to that folder when she tried to reply. So please check your spam folder.
Dogging@yahoo.com. I think you're right on that. You know?
Yeah, I think so.
One thing that does work is I can go on Mark's blog. I can go on the Radio Inside Scoop, and I can make entries there, and I can receive entries there, because they don't have, you don't need any name, you don't need any password with Mark, you're there. And so, they can't really block it, but.
Well, you don't need a password to get on the main site of HeadOnRadioNetwork.com either, and you just set up an account. It's not really password protected. It just identifies you as you once you get into the chat room.
Right. Well, that it won't let me get by that little part.
Another correspondent is saying it sounds like you have firewall troubles. So that's a possibility as well. But if you'll check your spam folder, Dave, you might find some of ELO's mail there.
All right. I will do that, and I know she's helped me in the past, and I sincerely appreciate it, and I've had a tech here who's been helping me. He's put in several hours trying to get me on the chat room, and he's never experienced anything like it. You can go to Mark Levine's Radio Inside Scoop, and it says go to Live Head-On Chat, and it tried to download that for 8 days, and I finally gave up. 8 days.
Well, just go to HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. And then try to get in the chat room from there. But the first thing you must do is check your spam file and look for ELO's messages to you.
All right. If she wants to say hello to me on the Inside Scoop, I know that's not a total informal one-on-one back and forth, but he's away this week, and I think he would allow for a certain amount of it.
Okay.
That one works, but they can block my email incoming and outgoing.
Well, I think it's probably more of a software problem than anyone taking an active interest in keeping you from communicating.
Yeah, because I'm a small fish. You would think, why would they be wasting their time?
No, this is a firewall conflict or a Java problem. This, you know, or maybe a bandwidth problem. We don't know, but I think it's eminently fixable, Dave.
Well, I hope so. I'm going to have my tech back again, and I will check the spam in my Yahoo email. I am a much more suspicious man than you, Bob. I do believe that there are those who will take their Patriot Act type powers and abuse them ever so slightly. I do believe that.
We know that the election numbers have been fooled with. We know that they have been feloniously fooled with. There's no doubt in my mind about that. However, considering what we do on the horn, I'm guessing it would be more likely that we would be hit before you would be hit.
Well, I would think that too.
And I'm sure that, and I know, we know for a fact that we're being listened to, simply because the, great big Uniblab 10,000 computers in the basement of the National Security Administration listen to everything that happens on the internet now.
Well, I'll tell you another thing I am totally convinced of, and that is that they do invade blogs. Once any, I don't mean blogs, I mean polls. If there's a poll that says, this is how it stands right now between McCain and Obama, if they'd like that blog, that poll to read a little differently, they jump right in there and shift it around a little bit. Now, the last time a presidential primary, we had a convention that I was really impressed with. We had some excellent speakers. We had some really good, entertaining, and well-meaning good input. And you know that the polls came out and showed a negative bounce. And then the Republicans had one that had crazy hate mongers. And would you believe, boom, it went way up, that a lot of people listened to that and thought, wow, this is what we really want to hear. No, that is our Patriot Act troopers playing with the polls. And we're going to let it happen again, and most people will say, I don't believe they're really doing that. Why don't you believe that? You think they got too much character?
No, see, Dave, where I'm concerned, I think that you don't necessarily need government operatives to manipulate a poll. In fact, I know you don't need government operatives to manipulate a poll. You just manipulate the number, the people and the number of people that you ask and from which demographic, and then you get a specified response. However, some of these more reputable among the polls are showing that McCain and Obama are dead even right now. And the question that has to be asked is, how on earth could that be possible? How could that remotely be? And it's the question you're asking. How could that possibly be true? And the answer to that question as to how it could possibly be true, Dave, is an old adage. And that is, no one ever went broke underestimating the American people.
Well, I gotta say that I'm one that's going to go broke on that, because I can't believe, I don't know hardly anybody that will look at what we've got in our White House now and say, more of the same from McCain, that's what we really want.
No, but see, they've changed the message, Dave. That's not what the message is now. Now the message is that you've got high gas prices because of the liberals. And when it gets, and you know as well as anybody, when the big lie gets repeated time after time after time after, the liberals are causing your gas prices because they won't let us drill.
Yeah.
When they do that time after time after time after time, eventually it goes from being the big lie to the big truth.
I've been in on the discussion group here every week, sometimes at least, and one member who considers himself to be Republican, his main concern is that the board of directors of the oil corporations are having to pay taxes. And I ask, well, what station do you listen to? You know, that's his main concern. This is a guy that probably doesn't make $1,000 a month, is troubled that oil executives are having to pay taxes. Now, I guess, yes, there are those people who will find themselves on the wrong side of the poll. And I think I found one right there. But they are a rare breed. How many people do you know that are that stupid that say, my main concern is that people that make $8 billion a year are having to pay taxes, and that troubles me? Now, what kind of person thinks like
now,
that?
But wait, Dave, if you're told that you standing up for the billionaires proves that you're not a communist or a socialist and you are of limited intelligence, what are you likely to be suckered into? You see what I'm getting at?
Well, I suppose he could say he's not a communist, and I can say he's not a communist.
Jesus loves billionaires just like he loves you and me. Why should we be harder on him than Jesus would be? See? I mean, it's pretty easy. By the way, I'm getting another query via email wanting to know, if you feel like mentioning it, who is your Internet service provider?
It's called ReniNet. Now, that's a small operation here in Humboldt County, R-E-N-I-N-E-T. And they use AT&T, my ISP is called ReniNet. And you have to be on AT&T to be able to do it. So if somebody can follow that up and ask, but if they can go to ReniNet and find out, I can access ReniNet and I can look at my email. I have to do it kind of a roundabout way.
Well, I have a feeling we'll get it sorted out. Just go and see if you can find ELO's messages to you. If you haven't gotten them, then they're probably in your spam box.
If she can go on Radio Inside Scoop and say, hello, this is my message, because you can ask Mark to erase it afterward, too. That would work. Yeah, but
check your spam file first, please.
I will do that.
Okay. All right, Dave, good talking to you, my friend.
Always a pleasure, Bob. Thank you for being there.
My pleasure. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye now. All right, we'll just keep things rolling right along. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, what's up, Bob?
Hey, Dave, don't worry. Do not worry. It gets worse, okay?
You sound like an old buddy of mine who said, don't worry about it. Ain't nothing going to be all right. No how, no way.
There you go. You got to understand. You know, if you argue, some people don't accept your argument, it happens. It can't please everybody. You really can't. The only person you can please is us. You can't please everybody. You can't make everybody happy. Obama is a good man.
Yes, he is.
Decent man. Hmm?
Yeah, I said, yeah, he absolutely is. I take no issue with that.
A good, decent man.
But like David from Tennessee said, I want to see a few people figure out how to throw a straight right.
True. But the thing,
Metaphorically speaking,
let's say this, all right? If you can't vote for a decent man, what do you vote for? The other man, okay? Because McCain is not a decent man.
No, he's not. He really isn't.
He never has been. He wasn't even a good man when he was in Vietnam, okay? At least us guys, those like me, not like him, because he's not one of us. He's one of the others. He had some rear admiral as a father.
Yeah, and he did not get admitted to the United States Naval Academy on his merit.
That's correct. And the truth is, I went to Vietnam as a grunt. Okay, I went there with the guys in the mud, in the blood, and the gore, and the filth, just like the kids in Iraq are doing now. The kids from Iraq are coming home. And who gives a hoot, Bob? Nobody. Come on. Truth be known, nobody. Not here on the Head On Radio Network, not on the Liberal Radio Network, not on the MS.
No, see, I beg to differ, Bob.
I know that, Bob. I'm telling the truth, just like your father did when he told you about World War II.
No, but the fact of the matter is, the liberals and progressives actually do care what happens to the guys and women who come home.
Simply because
of the level of neglect that has been afforded to them by this gang of thugs, and we know that they deserve better.
True. But the truth is, right? You and I, because I'm a liberal guy. I don't give a. And I don't care if they block me off or cut me off. I can never speak on this thing again. I said, God damn it. The liberals like me do not want our sons and daughters to suffer. We didn't send them. We fought in New York. We had tens of thousands, if not millions of people standing up and saying, no more. We don't want these kids to go. But the Republicans own the doggone MSN, or whatever, mainstream networks, right? They own them, Bob. This is a little bitty, teeny, weeny, little stream that goes out on the Internet. You hear my voice occasionally on the Internet. You don't hear me speaking on, what is that, MSNBC or CCC or the controlled networks that are controlled by the same people that controlled the first Cold War. Okay? They learned how to do it back from Adolf Hitler and his boys. The truth is that we have been controlled since the 1940s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, and into the 2000s. It is time that we stop listening to the MSM, okay? Mainstream news network, whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, the for-profit media.
That's right. They have big money behind them. Bob, you squeak by on a little bitty budget. I'm sure of that. I'm absolutely certain of it. You don't make big bucks because you don't have commercials from, I don't know, Viagra or whatever, or whatever Rush Limbaugh gets, okay? You don't have that. There's no way that they're going to put one of those on there because Agnes would probably beat you to death with a baseball bat.
Iron skillet, actually, but yeah.
Yeah, but see, it's just not what we do as decent human beings. Because, Bob, I'm not really a liberal, and I'm not a conservative. I'm not really anything. I'm a human being, and I live in the same world as you and your loving wife and your family and with all the other lovely people that call in and connect with Head On Radio Network. I just call in occasionally to say you are doing something that is unbelievably, really, truly, unbelievably self-sacrificing. Because, Bob, with your voice and your charisma, you could get out there and you could be, you could be a liar. You could be one of those people that just tells.
Well, if we've learned anything, we know from right-wing radio that lying sells.
There you go.
And little simple answers for simpletons sell. That is, if we just drilled off the Florida coast, our gasoline prices would be 39 cents a gallon. It would probably day after tomorrow. And to the point, Bob, that the Republican Congress, I don't know if you, or the Republican members of Congress, I don't know if you've been following this, they're out of session. And they're putting these little stunts on by going into the well of the House and talking about gas prices, and now they've said, see, we're talking about drilling offshore, and look, the gas prices is a-going down.
There you go.
Hallelujah. Look, we are very effective, we Republicans.
It has nothing to do with that at all. Bob?
Of course not.
It has nothing to do with that. It has a great deal to do with, what Dave was saying, okay? We have been so, what is the word? Your father would probably know it better than I. Hoodwinked. We've been so blinded by our own ambitions or whatever the word is. There's a word out there. Screwed! Okay?
Greed. Greed comes to mind, Bob. Greed comes to mind.
Huh? Greed is just what you want. You want to get rich. Okay, get rich. But what was that I saw? So it had John Wayne in it with this tramp out in the desert. years ago, it was a John Wayne movie, this young woman and John Wayne trying to, you know, into diamonds and rubies and stuff, and the most precious thing that they had going for them was a bottle of water. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I really do get that.
Yeah, see, so I don't care how much gold and rubies and dollar bills or whatever you build up in your castle, eat those diamonds, you know, try to get some sustenance from those rubies. Try to get something from, you know, just a drop of water from one of those bloodstones that you draw out of Africa. They will not feed you, but Mother Earth has done it forever. And we are products. We are from this Earth, and we, the human race, have done nothing but destroy and take from and just rip and give nothing back to our father, our mother, our progeny. Look at us. They will look back and they will weep because we are that generation, Bob, because we are the last generation that after the sacrificing generation of World War II, we became the reapers. We started taking. You know, when you stop and look back at it, the boys and girls that came up to that generation came out of the Depression. They came out of a dust bowl. They came out of deprivation, and they built this country. My father, your father, built this country, and we, his and her sons and daughters, have just reaped the benefits of their sacrifice. And I'm asking, please, please, realize what they gave and be willing to give back to Mother Earth and to each other, to this nation, a president worthy of being the president. And I will vote for Obama before I would vote for any other man, not because he's black or white, because he is both black and white. And it is time, Bob Kincaid, it is time that this nation realize that we need both the black man and the white man, and we need to join together as a nation to heal this nation. And by God, I believe that a black and white man together, and that is Obama. He was born both black and white.
Sure, sure.
And maybe it's time that we put away the hang nooses that are hanging from the trees in West Virginia and down there in Kentucky and down there in them bayous of Louisiana.
Sure. And the, it's time. Well, yeah. And some of us are trying to do that, while others are trying, while others like Toby Keith are trying to bring it back to the forefront. Bob, I got to run on, but it's awful good talking to you, brother. Don't be a stranger. All right.
Well, I'm strange, but I'm not stranger than you.
Well, you know, right. I mean, it's like me and Agnes. We've got a strange and wonderful relationship. She's wonderful and I'm strange. I completely get that.
All right. Take care, my friend.
All right. Later, Bob.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. And keeping it rolling. And doggone it, you gave up. So we'll take a, so we'll take a break. And we'll come back with more. And, you know, I really do, if you haven't heard it before, I want to play you this Toby Keith audio, this great patriot. You know, what a guy. Because you kind of, I don't do this for sensationalist purposes, but more rather to the point, I do this because we do talk amongst ourselves as liberals and progressives and otherwise decent people. And we want to forget that these horses' asses are out there.
We do that. No, Lord, we do that at our peril. So let's do take a little break. And when David mentioned me out there in the wilds of Nicholas County chasing the dragon, couldn't help but think of this. I'm always good for a Steely Dan song. This is America's listener-supported liberal voice. This is The Horn. I'm Bob. We'll be back. Oh, yeah. Gotta love that. Gotta love that. Time Out of Mind, Steely Dan, came from the Gaucho album back in, good God, 28 years ago, 1980. A couple of things, just a couple of things, worth mentioning. First of all, with regard to 0894 being out in Sturgis, this from Cindy. Ever been to Sturgis? Well, no, I haven't. I have, she says. It is the gathering of the most drunken, drugged-out pack of hunyaks, whatever a hunyak is, I have ever seen. It is so degrading.
Of course, if they need a break on gasoline, they just raise the price of the meth they sell, or the grass they sell, or whatever the drug of choice they sell is, because they're a pack of druggies. Wonder why the news anywhere didn't pick up on McCain's visiting druggies on the campaign trail. Does he think they're normal because of his wife's contacts? Because, of course, Cindy McCain is lied all over herself about her ugly little addiction problem. And now I wouldn't necessarily agree with that characterization wholeheartedly, because there are tons and tons and tons and tons and tons of Harley riders who couldn't roll a joint with an instruction manual. They are mid 50-something, 60-something accountants who finally could afford the motorcycle they dreamt of all their lives. And they ran out and, you know, spent $25,000 on a Harley and got the leather chaps and, you know how the rest of it goes. But as the Huffington Post article notes that I saw, there's a lot of vets at Sturgis. And there's a certain natural affinity between McCain and, or perceived affinity between McCain and that group. So, I get that part. But the other thing about Sturgis, however, is that, and this is Sam Stein writing at Huffington Post, the town of Sturgis, South Dakota, will witness Monday, as in yesterday, the rare fusion of drunken debauchery, public strip-teasing, motorcycle rallying, a live performance by Kid Rock. Oh, God, Kid Rock, not Kid Rock. And last but not least, a veterans theme speech by John Old 894 McCain. Seriously. Stein also writes, it's hard not to notice the evocative non-political sideshow that will literally surround McCain's speech. As the presumptive nominee takes the stage, the Ringin' Wet and Wild Women's Wrestling event will be taking place on the main amphitheater. 2 hours before then, the Miss Buffalo Chip beauty pageant, Bikinis on the Beach, will be staged at a different venue. Jim Capel at ESPN describes the affair as essentially a topless beauty pageant, and occasionally bottomless, too. Hee-wee! During a drenching rain Wednesday night, the contest broke up into smaller groups, and one woman wound up dancing naked on a bar top. Her boyfriend's husband saw her and angrily dragged her away as she struggled to put her pants back on and muttered something about how it's only this 1 week a year. Of course, we're all familiar with that wonderful, wonderful song title, Tequila Makes Her Clothes Fall Off. Domestic abuse is also a problem in Sturgis. Following McCain's speech, the tentative schedule called for Kelly Pickler and Kid Rock to get on the same stage for their live performances, and then the semifinals of Miss Buffalo Chip Beauty Pageant followed, featuring Hawaiian Tropic models. A couple of photographs here of the Hawaiian Tropic models, and, well, yeah. Golly. Woo-wee. You know, things that make you go, woo! Yeah. And see, that Cindy does have a point. If Barack Obama had gone out there, never mind the fact that John McCain couldn't ride a motorcycle if his life depended on it. Hell, he crashed 5 airplanes, and you're going to trust him with a Harley-Davidson? I don't think so. I mean, do they make Harley-Davidsons with training wheels? Or maybe they've got a Harley-Davidson model at the scooter store that John McCain could use. But if Barack Obama had showed up there, that's what you would have heard. Why is Barack Obama hanging out with a bunch of drugged-out motorcycle gang members? That's the double standard that we do have to deal with, in fact. And I'm not just funning. You know damn good and well that's what you'd hear. Look at him out there running around with all of them junkies and druggies. They're probably communists and socialists. Marlene, it just makes me sick.
Yeah. You know. You know. So, that yeah, there is some validity to that. Oh, by the way, with William says, way back, I have just one suggestion that might get the importance of tire pressure into people's heads. He says, way back in the mid-60s, I helped my brother-in-law pour a cement patio. He rented one wheelbarrow, and I used the one my father had. Just have people try to push a wheelbarrow half full on concrete with a tire just a little bit low on pressure. And then once they're done, they will feel the actual effects of what the car has to overcome. Simple test for simple minds. Yeah, but try to get a right winger to push a wheelbarrow. I mean, come on. Good God, they're Republicans. They're conservatives. They're right wingers. Wheelbarrows baffle them. God invented the wheelbarrow so that right-wingers could learn to walk on their hind legs, for crying out loud. But there you go. So let's roll to the phones, see what's shaking. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob.
Hey, Juanita.
I'm so glad you're back tonight.
Well, thank you.
I was concerned about you.
I was concerned about me.
And if you hadn't been on, I was going to do some checking.
Well, don't send the View girls after me, okay? I don't think I could, even on dope, I don't think I could handle Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Handle what?
Elizabeth Hasselbeck.
Oh, no. There are reruns this week.
She's growing horns. There are horns coming out of her head. Oh, my God. Yeah.
To have a reputation as a View watcher and nothing else.
Well, that's the sacrifice you make for us, Juanita.
Okay.
You watch it so we don't have to. You put up with Elizabeth Hasselbeck so the rest of us can sit in cool air conditioned comfort and not try to pluck our own eyeballs out.
Yeah, it's mostly getting silly again like it was before, you know, earlier. The earlier programs, they just got so silly till I quit watching. I don't know how long I quit watching it. 5 years? When Rosie got back, it was great. She didn't hold back. She was well informed. Now, I will say, Joyce Behar is more informed now than she was. And Whoopi surprises me that she's not any more informed, but, you know, that's the way it goes.
But she's willing to bring the heat.
But anyway, I just wanted to let you know I'm glad you're back.
Well, I do appreciate it, and I was facetious, but the fact of the matter is, I really wanted to be on the air tonight because I sort of left under uncertain circumstances last night, and I hate doing a 2.5-hour program.
Well.
But when it was probably 15 minutes after 8 when I, the Eastern time, when I started feeling that pain that I recognized coming on, and, you know, the sweat pops out on your forehead, and you know that you can't talk through that stuff, so.
No.
I went and
something like that. That's really bad.
Oh, I tell you what. Don't ever let anybody tell you that kidney stone pain isn't just a stunt. But yeah, mm-hmm. Bad pain is bad pain. But I tell you what, I'd never felt anything like it before in my life.
Wow. Well, I thought you'd had kidney stones before. Am I wrong?
Well, we don't know. They did the CT last night, and they didn't see any stones, so we don't know.
Maybe it's so small. But
or it could have passed into the bladder already and didn't show up. I mean, these things can be like a grain of sand.
They hurt like the devil.
Yeah, and make an absolute weeping baby out of you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. My daddy died.
Yeah, so much for that. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, so much for all that intelligent design.
Oh, now you're trying to get in an uproar, aren't you?
No. But you were going to say your daddy?
Yeah, my daddy, he died of kidney cancer. And they used to beat him, you know, in school with poles and stuff.
Ow.
When he went up in Georgia, when he went to school. And that's what they said. They figured that that kidney had just been slowly going away for years. And he just got in agony. He was passing big old blood clots. But my daddy had a great sense of humor. He was talking to the doctor, and he said, "Well, I guess I know what it's like to have a baby now." Bless his heart.
Oh, I can sympathize, and I can't imagine, because just what little bit I was going through last night until they got that heavy duty Rush Limbaugh medicine into me.
They had to rub it in, didn't they?
Oh, you know, I understood. You know, you get a load of that stuff on Juanita, and you crawl behind a microphone, you can just say all kinds of crazy crap, and it doesn't matter.
Uh-huh. I'm sure. I've had that a few times. You know, like, almost miscarried one time, and they gave me some stuff. It was hard for me to even swallow. I thought I was just going to swallow my son. But it sure did feel good.
Oh, yeah, you know, there's nothing like not hurting anymore.
Oh, yeah. That's for sure. But, I mean, I could talk about something, but basically that's what I wanted to call about.
I appreciate you.
Huh?
No, you don't call too much. I appreciate you just being neighborly and saying, "Hope you're feeling better." That means a lot, Juanita.
Yeah.
That's kind of the little family that we're built here, and I love it. I absolutely love it.
Yeah.
So I'll have some more. Hopefully, I'll have some more. If I'm on the air Thursday, I'll have some more news Thursday. If I'm not on the air Thursday, I'll have some more news Friday.
Okay.
And we'll find out where we're going to go from there. But because it looks like I've bobbed and weaved and dodged it as long as I can, and it may be time to apply a sharp knife to my hide. And I'm not looking forward to it, but if that makes all this stuff better, then I reckon I'll suck it up and go get it done.
Yeah, you have to suffer before you get better. Some medical system.
Oh yeah, and I remember the surgeon who looked at me and said, "Man, it takes steel to heal."
Yep.
Talking about scalpels and stuff. But Juanita, it's good to hear from you, dear.
Okay, you take care.
All right, and bye now.
Good night.
Just love Juanita. Like having a neighbor over the back fence. Just check and make sure you're all right. And that matters. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hey, Bob. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Gary?
Hey, how you been?
You know, it was a little tough last night, but with any luck, I'll get better.
Okay, yeah. I didn't catch the show last night. I caught the show last couple of nights.
Yeah, I kind of got whacked with some sort of kidney attack, kidney stone, whatever.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Don't want to go through that.
No, it was not fun. I don't care how you... No. No.
Yeah, I think I'm going to start cutting back on these almonds. I heard if you eat almonds, they can lead to that. I don't know if that's true or not, but, you know.
Well, that's like, that's like growing up where I grew up down in northwest Alabama. They say that there's a lot of kidney stones down there because there's so much calcium in the water from it being filtered through the limestone that way. And that, you know, they'll form little granules and nodules and stuff like that. And I mean, if you can imagine something as big as maybe a grain of sand just lighting you up like a Christmas tree, and just, wow, nasty, nasty.
Yeah. So anyway, I don't know if you caught this, but it's being reported over. I saw it earlier today, but I was reading through a Bloomberg that. Treasury is outsourcing work to Morgan Stanley studying the housing problem.
Isn't that a little bit like alcohol, tobacco, and firearms outsourcing a study to Al Capone to study bootlegging?
Well, I have a question about it. Take it in front. Yeah, I mean, you hit it right on the head. That just shows how much smarter than you are than most of the regular people, because it probably took me a little while for me to figure that out until you figured it out. So, but yeah, so I think I said, wow, man, there must be really some criminal stuff going on, because if I'm correct, the investment people are the people who did all these illegal transactions. So why would you be outsourcing the stuff to them?
Right.
They should be investigating them, not giving them work.
No. I mean, they're criminals. Who would better know how to discover a criminal process than getting the criminals to investigate themselves? It makes perfect sense if you're a member of the Bush administration.
Yeah, but you do it once they're locked behind bars and you feed the papers to them under the cell, not while they're scot-free.
Man, I love the way you think.
That's how it is. You know, I mean, come on. You don't give it to them. They should be investigated. This is crazy.
But yeah, because we know the report, you know, if they're the ones right... I guess the final outcome of the report's not going to be much different either way, though, Gary, because whether the Bush administration Treasury Department did it or Morgan Stanley did it, the answer's going to be the same. It's liberals' fault. Liberals did it.
It's going to be the same. I just think that, I just find this whole thing interesting, but, you know, I don't know if you had a chance yet, but if you heard about this. Have you ever seen this little video that they have up called Money is Debt?
No.
Oh, man, you got to check this out. You can actually probably just Google it. I'm pretty sure it's on Google Video. I think everybody just needs to watch it. It's like 47 minutes. I highly recommend just watching it. It really explains the whole federal banking system. And if you actually use the cartoon, it's like a narrator. But it's getting a lot of hits over like the web and people are talking about it. I think it's been up now for like about 6 months, really. And, you know, I was just going to some forums, but once you see this thing, even if you have a very simple mind, it just shows you what's going on in terms of the financial problem that we're heading into, because you start to understand that Fed does not really make money anymore. All they're doing is basically when we take out debt, that debt is the actual money that's being created. And that's why you're continuing to get a balloon that is just going to continue to explode. And they're freaking out right now, financial markets and everything, because they don't know how to erase this debt process that they have. And I'm telling you, once you watch this video, it makes you realize, man, we're headed through some rough times, really rough times.
I fear that we are. And it's between you and me, it's guaranteed if old 894 gets into office. I mean, because his policies will just be more smoke and mirrors and more giveaways for the wealthiest 1% of the country. And how much longer can we go on doing that, Gary?
Yeah, but see, I'm saying that when you see the video and you see the problem that's coming, it seems like it's actually unavoidable. In other words, there's nothing anybody can do at this point. They've gone too far with it. The only way that we really could change it would be to actually change the way we deal with money, borrowing, giving out money. I mean, basically, we would have to flip the entire system, capitalist system, over to change what's happening.
And the only way that happens is after a complete collapse and a wholesale fix.
Yeah, or a major earthquake, you know, some kind of just whole scale, exactly. Because, man, when you see this thing, it really makes you understand, you know, trying to understand the financial system is very hard for a lot of people. And, you know, people, you know, try to explain inflation and why, you know, interest rates and everything. Nobody really can get it. But once you see this video, you know, I've sent it around to my family and friends. It's like, they're like, wow. It's just, because in its concept, it's very basic, you know. Just in its, from the first start out, the first thing it talks about the goldsmith and how, you know, the original, you know, parable of how, you know, banks came into existence. You start thinking about it, it's like, wow, you know. You got your bank, you got all your money somewhere, and they're loaning out more money than they actually have in the vault. They got your money. And then if everybody goes to actually collect on that money, you find out, oh, well, we don't actually have that much money. Well, on a whole scale area, on a whole scale level, that is what the foreign people are looking at us. They're saying America does not have the money that they have lent out to all of us or that we have borrowed from them. And that's what's happening. And everything's going to contract. You know, so I don't know, Bob. I don't know if we can better get out of this. Whether Obama or McCain gets in there at all, it, you know, McCain gets in there, we're sure screwed. But I don't know, man.
I don't know if we can either. But like I said, I know it gets worse under McCain, and I don't know how much better it gets under Obama. But I think he's at least got the smarts to work on it. I'm convinced that McCain does not have the brains to work on it.
Yeah, well, I think McCain is just typical, because he's losing his faculties. I've been watching him lately. He's definitely starting to decline mentally. I mean, it's obvious, and they're just hiding him. You know, that's why he's running all these little commercials with Britney Spears, because anything to keep him out of the spotlight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So the media's not even talking about McCain. So every, I was watching some channel on Sunday, and it was like, I just watched the whole thing. I think it was McLaughlin group or whatever that group was. The entire show was about Obama. There was no mention about McCain. I mean, he talked about McCain in terms of the ads, but he didn't talk about him. He was talking about what Obama should do. Obama should watch for this. Obama should watch for that. That is what, you know, everybody's obsessed with Obama, but nobody's talking about McCain. And this guy is scary.
Well, when he's standing on a stage in Sturgis, South Dakota, talking about paying $4 for gasoline, and he does that thing that David from Tennessee mentioned a little bit ago down in Florida, where he just gets that deer in the headlights look at an absolute softball question. I'm sorry, I question his ability to get the job done. I think you're right. I think he's slipping.
And I think it's beyond just getting a question to get the job done. McCain is not 100% there. He's not there, Bob. I've been watching him. If you notice lately, just watch him. He's reading off the papers now. He's not even hardly talking. Every time he's out now, most of the time, he talks.
Yeah, he's looking like one of those old school Soviet leaders.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? Yuri Andropov or whoever, you know, and he stands up and waves a little bit, and then they cart him away and talk about our glorious leader.
Yeah, I mean, he's become like Fidel Castro. I mean, really, I really think in the media, I believe, Bob, they know it, and they're hiding him. I honestly believe they're hiding him because they want so bad for this to be an interesting race. You know, they don't want the thing to fizzle out before, you know, they get their ratings and all those stuff. And you know, I don't know, man. I think this thing will be over a little quicker than people think. But
then how do you explain the polling data right now, Gary?
Oh, the polling data went to crap. That's that far. I was like listening to some calls earlier. I was going to call you earlier in the week when I heard, because I was listening over the weekend, because, you know, I actually got involved with the Democratic Party going out registering voters. I was out in Pennsylvania and other places. And what's happening with the polling is that some of these companies, I'm not sure if it's Gallup, but a couple of these polling companies, these polling companies are tied in with, like, with the media and the newspaper industry, which, you know, is taking a beating right now. And I can tell you for sure that McCain's internal polling, I know this, I'm not talking like not knowing things. This is something I know. His internal polling showed that he's tanking in Virginia, Pennsylvania, and a couple other states. That is why last week he came out in a fury with all these negative ads. And the polling, this tightening in the polling, is basically them asking, think about this, even Steven, they're going at a certain amount of Democrats and a certain amount of Republicans. Well, the fact of the matter is, more likely, more Democrats are going to show up to vote. I think we already know that because of the primary, than Republicans. So therefore, the polling can't be accurate because it's doing a 50-50 split between who's more likely to vote Republican, you know what I mean, and Democrat. So you can't really go by that. That's what's happening with the polling. And, you know, it's rigged to make this thing look close.
Well, did you see this story, Gary, about the the stupid ad with Britney Spears and stuff? It was a story about polling data on that, all right? And it has to do with the responses. You know, the headline is, Republicans are disturbed, skeptical, and saddened after viewing new John McCain ad. And this goes back to the last day of July. Results of a national study conducted among 320 Americans revealed that a majority of Americans, 61%, reported that they were disturbed, skeptical, and saddened after viewing a new ad by John McCain, which likens Barack Obama to Britney Spears and Paris Hilton. Okay, so that sounds like, okay, they're disturbed by it. But then you go down toward the bottom of the story and you get the actual data. And it's data for people prior to viewing the ad and data after viewing the ad. And lo and behold, there's about a 9% swing toward McCain regardless of whether people were disturbed by it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's not good news. That means that whether they were disturbed by it or not, these people who saw this ad, with a certain segment of that of the demographics within the poll, that it had its intended effect.
Well, I used to work in advertising. I mean, any advertising that you say to people hits them on. It could be something that they don't even believe is true. I mean, that's how they used to sell products to women. I mean, you can sell them anything if they just see it. People, it puts a little bit of a tweak in your eye. You know, it's like, you know, you can be the most devout saint, but if you look at a little bit of pornography, you may get a little bit of an arousal. You know what I mean?
Okay. All right. All right.
That's the best way to explain it. So, yes, it works. The problem with negative advertising is there's always the boomerang effect. And the fact is that you always, the candidate who does it for over a long period of time will get a negative perception of himself. In other words, you know, people say, wait a minute, this guy's running too much negative stuff. You can only do it in a shot, but if you continue to do it, it eventually starts to brand you as a negative individual. So that's why I'm not as worried about that, because I think if people notice, Hillary Clinton tried the same thing. The thing about the Clintons, if you notice, she would always do the negative stuff 3 or 4 days right before the primary, because that's enough time for her to plant the seed of doubt before you get that boomerang effect to come back on her. The problem was she was in a long campaign against Barack Obama. So therefore, that short shot, you know, eventually just reflected back on her. Negative campaigning worked, but...
Well, it worked for George H.W. Bush.
Exactly, it worked. It works. There's no doubt about that.
And it worked for George W. Bush in both of his elections.
But we didn't have YouTube then. We didn't have fact check. We didn't have a thing where things could be just dispelled very quickly. I think that's a little bit of a difference now with negative campaign. It still works, but I think now you have a little bit of media to counteract it. But I can tell you right now, they're sending out millions of emails of smears on Obama. And that stuff is having an effect.
Well, look at this. I started out the program, Gary, talking about this confounded tire gauge thing.
Yeah, I mean, that was stupid. I don't think that's going to work.
I hope it's... I agree that it's stupid. It's also insulting on a very, very deep level. And I'd love to see the Obama campaign come out and say... not the Obama campaign. I'd love to see Obama come out and say, you know, my grandparents raised me, and my grandparents grew up during the Depression and World War II. And they did everything they possibly could to make a set of tires last, because they couldn't get another set of tires, and they had to be, they had to preserve what they had at the time, because you couldn't buy any more because everything went to the war effort. Those people saved this country, and now John McCain is mocking the same kind of behavior that generation engaged in, because you know what? That will resonate with older America, with whom some people say that, you know, Obama is having a hard time convincing. But that would resonate, because that generation has heard those stories from the Depression era generation that were their parents. And I'd love to see something like that, because this is a direct slap in the face. We got to in America during the Second World War, issued ration stamps and ration coins, as opposed to real currency, in an effort to, and there's that word, conserve resources. And isn't it interesting that we could conserve resources in order to beat back world fascism, but that same spirit is suddenly a joke if we're talking about saving the planet and saving America's future via becoming energy independent?
I think, though, that the whole conservative thing doesn't necessarily work. I could be wrong, but I don't think it necessarily works for the older people. I think it works for some of the younger generation, because they're not necessarily conservative-minded. So, I mean, I don't know if that's who he's aiming for. But, you know, that, you know, if you tell some of the younger people I deal with, just conservative things, they're like, what are you talking about? So maybe he's trying to cut into that base. I mean, I don't know. But I agree with you. I think the whole tie, I don't know, I don't think the tie thing is going to work because maybe I'm just wrong, but I think a lot of people, I see people now on the street when I'm driving, I know they're slowing down too. There's a lot of stuff I hear people tell me talking about how it can save gas and, you know, talking about tires and it's part of the conversation. So Obama really just said something that people, to me, already know. So for McCain to come out and say, oh, that's just stupid. I mean, I know he's trying to say that's Obama's only plan. That's what he's trying to say. He's not trying to say that, you know, stupid, but I think it kind of makes McCain look petty saying something like that. I mean, it's just, I don't know. That one kind of just doesn't work, but it was on before. So.
Yeah. Well, I really do hate to see, and of course the convention's coming up, and we don't know what will happen out of that, but, and I hope it'll be a significant, I hate the words that the for-profit media uses, but I'll use it anyway, Gary. I hope we see a significant bounce come out of it. I hope we see a really energetic convention. But again, the media controls it, and it's worth remembering that when the convention rolls around, Gary, guess who's in charge of the so-called pool coverage, the pool video and audio coverage of the convention?
Who?
Fox. Really? Not kidding.
What do you mean, like the pool coverage? I don't.
Well, you know, you can't have, you know, they've got the platforms where you set the television cameras for this angle and that angle, and there's no way inside a room like that to have every company's camera on the platform. So instead you select one company to do it all, and everybody draws from that pool coverage. So Fox is the one that will be delivering it, and you know, maybe I'm wrong, maybe I'm just paranoid, Gary, but you watch and see if you don't get all manner of nasty angles and funny shots and weird close-ups. And, you know, I don't know if there's somebody in the audience with hair that is green, purple, yellow, and red wearing the tie-dyed dashiki or something, you can bet your butt that the Fox pool coverage cameras will find that person and will feature that person every chance they get.
Well, I mean, any person wearing a Muslim scarf will be prominently featured.
Well, there you go. There you go.
That's going to be something that Democrats probably just say, look, either Abdul, come on, man, give us a break.
But the beauty of that is that if ABC or CBS or NBC or any other television network wants to run the footage, they run the footage that Fox News shoots. It is literally a captive process.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it'll be interesting. I just think I've heard a lot of people kind of hyperventilating over the polls and why Obama should be ahead. And I keep telling people, man, Obama actually is right where he should be, considering he's an upstart, considering, you know, obviously we all say he's a lot farther along than we, you know, anybody would have thought. But I just say to this, first of all, even within manipulating the poll, all it does is energize me and other people to stay focused. And so they can try to continue to keep it close and make it look close. But I still maintain that it'll be, I don't know if it'll be a landslide, but I bet you it'll be close to it. Unless there's some kind of extreme event.
And I don't put that past him.
I don't put that past him, but I think, again, like I said, watching that video and just thinking about things now, watching how Bush and them are operating, it seems like they're just trying to rob the bank. They know that the American people or whatever, the lights are coming on them, and they're starting to scurry like rats. I don't think they're sitting there trying to retain power anymore. That's my personal opinion, because what I see coming is such a disaster. Even they see it coming. So they're just trying to get as much money as they can, you know, and get out of there. But I think people should not be so, you know, so worried about Obama. One thing I've been kind of getting somewhat teed off with, you know, and I don't like talking about these programs, so I won't mention the radio show's host name, but he's been going off on, like, you know, kind of like on Pelosi, and I understand that part, but then he's going off on Obama. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, man, we're like 90 days or so before America can, before America Judgment Day, basically, where I see it. We don't have time to be, like, getting into, like, some of the things that some of us want to talk about. Now, I understand people want to talk about Bush and the impeachment process. Democrats blew that. My personal opinion is you got to not get focused. The goal now should be get Obama in there and get Pelosi and those types out after he gets in.
Or get some sort and get a preferably a veto-proof, filibuster-proof majority in the Senate. I understand what you're saying, but it's hard to completely abandon those lines of thought, Gary, when you see stories like what came out today, the excerpts from Ron Suskin's book, where there's now credible evidence that the Bush administration paid an Iraqi official $5 million to write backdate a fraudulent letter about Saddam's connection to the 9/11 terrorists. It's hard not to look back, and it's hard not to hold some animus toward people like Nancy Pelosi and Harry Reid over this stuff. So
Obama said we have to change Washington, and I personally believe after reading his book and some other stuff, he's not just talking about Republicans. That's my own personal opinion on that, but that's just my little insight on that. I don't think he's just talking about Republicans. I think that he is serious about changing Washington. And he realized he's going to have to fracture the Democratic Party. But first he needs to get in there, get the power, and then start weeding those guys out. That's what's going to have to happen. That's all we can hope for at this point, because he's the guy in the position to do it. So we can sit here and complain about maybe he moved on this issue or that issue. And that's what he's doing. He's trying to, center himself a little bit. But in the end, everything's going to go down once he gets in. You know what I mean? He ain't got no power right now, really. So it's no sense to me.
Does Obama's choice of a running mate matter to you, Gary?
I would say partially no, if it's to win the White House. Now, I know that's kind of hard for some people to understand, but if he's thinking more about the person, the vice president, actually help him govern, then yes, it would matter. But if it comes to a point where the Republicans pull up some kind of crap like you just talked about, and the election really does become very, very tight, or he's behind, at that point or something, or, whatever. It'll probably be too late, obviously, to change vice president. But if he's thinking right now that he needs this person to win.
What if it's somebody who's up to his eyeballs in so-called conservative values like Virginia's Tim Kaine?
He don't really need Tim Kaine. He's going to take Virginia. He don't need him.
Okay, what about a cipher like Evan Bayh? That's the other name that's getting bandied about.
A blue dog, I would see that as a move. And I can tell you because they're not necessarily very close from what I understand. That's a pick to win the Midwest, solidify the states around the Midwest. That's the pick to try to win the White House. That's not a pick to govern.
What about this sleaze job that's been pulled on John Edwards? Are you suspicious about that, Gary?
Of course it's Marion. They're trying to come on, man. You know what they want? They need a spy, man. Let's get real about it.
Well, what I suspect is that this was an attempt to get John Edwards out of any further consideration as a running mate, because I think the Republican Party is scared to doggone death of John Edwards.
Well, I don't think it's just that. I think they don't want him in any form of an Obama administration. Attorney General, I don't know, what he's going to do with John Edwards or whatever. I think that you got to be careful, man, because the powers that be, I think, don't kind of like some of the stuff that Obama's kind of saying. See, I think a lot of people think that Obama's going to move to the center once he gets in office. I'm going to tell you something, man. I read his book. I have kind of went back and read some articles and some stuff. I did some research on this guy lately. I'm gonna find out. And what I found, a lot of his friends, his people, Sean Hannity and them are right about him. A lot of his friends are left-leaning. I mean, these are guys who are from the left. They think like me and you. And Obama comes from, you know, whether people don't want to admit it or not, he came from a community. That's where he started. Now, some people say, you'd be cynical and say, well, you know, he did that. Yes. Political, it doesn't matter. He started there working in those torn down communities. He didn't go to where McCain did or where, you know, Bush and all those guys did. He came from the bottom up. He came from where we are. So, you know, it's like they got the president of Brazil, Lula. You know, he came from the bottom up. He's a poor guy, you know. And,
yeah.
You know, and, exactly. And that's where Obama's. And he's scaring the hell out of them, you know. So that's what I'm saying. I think we got to be careful here. I think when Obama gets in there, he's going to move right back to the left. I have no doubt about that, you know, because to me, the left, the way we're talking, is the only thing that's going to be able to help to save this country anyway. So he's going to have to do it no matter what. But I think some of the left leaning people are getting out of control now, and I think we got to get back focused and stop.
Well, I couldn't agree more. And this Messiah ad and you know that kind of shameless negativity. Just reminded me when I was reading a little digest of news stories that I get every day that we do ourselves a disservice, and I'm not trying to pick a fight with anybody, but we do ourselves a disservice when we say that, well, you know, the McCain campaign just came up with that. Because I've been following it, and I know the history of it. The Puma people, you know, Party Unity My Ass, the spoiled kindergartners of the Democratic political world, those people have been calling Obama things like the Precious and the Messiah for months now. And the McCain campaign has just picked up on what they're doing. And you are right, Gary. It's time to get focused. It's time to focus on the job. You know, the problem, you know, as between the two people, the problem is not Barack Obama. The problem is very clearly John McCain.
100%.
And I remain just laser beamed in on that.
Yeah. I'm not saying that we shouldn't, like, question his strategy or give him an earful every now and then so he remembers that, you know, we're still out here, you know.
Everybody needs to tighten it up once in a while. There's no doubt about that.
So to go on in this rant and start talking about Ralph Nader, I like Ralph Nader. Some of the things he's done. Let's get real. The guy did not build any organization like Obama did. Okay, if you're really serious about making change throughout the government, then you build an organization to get you into the presidency. If not, you're a consumer advocate. And you got a couple people working for you or whatever, and that's what you're doing. You can't run for president and not think you're going to not govern. And that's the problem with Ralph Nader. He's not focused on government. He's just focused on issues.
He's focused on Ralph.
Yeah, Ralph, but I'm just saying he's focused just on, like, I don't want to say issues. I don't know how to frame it. But what I'm trying to say is that he's not thinking about the process of actually governing. In other words, there are some times when you're dealing with two factions that you have to collaborate, concede, you know, whatever you want to call it, to get things done. That just has to happen. Whether we like it or not, it has to happen sometimes. The question is the collective process ultimately going to be better than if they did nothing? That's how I see it. And, you know, so I think some of the left people are just getting too out of control, you know, with this, like, psychopathic, like, oh, it's all or nothing strategy.
Too much frenzy, too much I want a pony, too much, yeah.
Yeah. If McCain gets in, that's all or nothing.
Yeah. And you know, I think it's fair to ask the anti-Obama element of the Democratic Party who are still angry and pissed off or whatever, I think it's fair to ask them, can you sit there and stare me in the eye and tell me that you would be willing to sacrifice the presidency over your political frustration?
Just yeah, they need to grow up. I mean, basically. I hate to say it that way, but they need to grow up. I mean, this is not, you know, the bottom line, this is about issues. It's not about people. You know, Obama or whatever, I don't, you know, he's a nice guy, whatever, this and that. I think he is a decent person, but trust me.
Every coin has two sides, Gary, and when I hear people talking about the Obama cult of personality or stuff like, you know, that kind of thing, he doesn't have voters, he has He doesn't have loyalists. He has cultists. And, I mean, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, they run around saying he's like, well, he's arrogant. Oh, you know, it's like, okay, well, he does a good job. He's a confident person. But that translates into being arrogant, you know? That's what they're saying.
Also, when I hear that, I can't help but stop and think and say, oh, yeah, okay, you don't want somebody whose followers get real fired up about him. You'd rather have John Kerry. Because you know what? I remember 2004, and Gary, you know, I went out and I helped distribute signs and stickers and advocated for John Kerry and so forth. But you know what? If you would have put the jumper cables to the diehard on me, I would have readily or even threatened to. I would have readily said, look, the guy does not excite me. The guy does not light a fire under me. The guy doesn't fight back. So, you know, we in 2004 we had a bunch of very coolly dispassionate people who were ready to go and vote for John Kerry. Is that what these people want again? They want people who aren't excited about a candidate? Because I got news for them. When the Republicans get excited about a candidate, it turns into a tidal wave.
That's right.
You know, there was Ronald Reagan who just put a long knife right into the heart of the middle class, and there's a bunch of middle class people to this day that was, oh, Ronald Reagan was our greatest president. Huh? You know, I saw that story, or heard that story mentioned by Peter Godbold the other night about the scientists who think that they have finally found a key to maybe creating a vaccine or a cure for HIV. And at the bottom of the story, it said, Gary, any human trials or any human benefit from this work is 5 years out. And I looked at Agnes and I said, you know, stop and think about that for a minute. It took Ronald Reagan 5 years to even mention what was then called AIDS, to even mention it. And now here's this research 5 years out. How many people will die? And you can draw a line straight from those 5 years to the 5 years that Ronald Reagan pretended it didn't exist and listened to the evangelical industry and who said, well, you know, it's a gay plague, Mr. President.
Well, it seems that that new prostate drug was in England, so it's different, I guess. I mean, that's like hitting the market almost immediately. I mean, I don't understand what the problem is. You know, less than 2 years, I think.
But there are people out there to this day who were directly harmed by the policies of Ronald Reagan. And you can point directly to how they were harmed, and they'll still sit there and say, yeah, but he made me feel good about America.
Well, you know, I mean, I always thought it was always weird, you know, when he moved to, you know, his address. He had to have it changed because his street address was 666.
Yeah.
You know, you have to get a laugh out, but now you know maybe the guy was playing a joke, or maybe he was the Antichrist, but he did have 666 that in his name, Ronald Wilson Reagan. But you know, you start thinking about it, like, wow, that guy really did screw this damn country. Maybe he was the Antichrist. Who knows? You know.
Well, exactly. So you know, we have to be alert to that kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, we got to be alert, but I think we also got to I think Democrats sometimes. They just freak out sometimes.
Well, and we're reaching that freak out point of the process too. Let's not have any misgivings here. We're reaching the point where the string is tightened down so tight that you know if you blow your breath across it, it'll make a noise. We are wound up tight because we are itching to see the end of the Bush administration. I think there's a real undercurrent of a desire in this country to see a return to lawfulness.
No, this is this thing, man. I'm gonna tell you something. I tell people, you know, it's been miserable being in the Bush, but I think, to me, I think it's a great time politically to be alive. Because like I said, I'm out there and I'm talking to people. Like I was in Pennsylvania. I know he's gonna lose Pennsylvania because I talked to number of Republicans who were out there. They were like, we're not voting for Obama. You know, there's some of them. But the main thing that kept coming across, they're like, but there's no way we're voting Republican. They weren't strong. Some of them were like, maybe, you know, I was talking about Obama thinking about it. But they were like, we're not voting Republican at all. So I think a lot of them are just not going to show up. And that's what I think is going to really happen. I think when all said and done, Bob, I think what people are going to look back at is like, say, wow, Democrats came out in numbers, and then they're going to look at the Republican Party and say, you know what? Those guys didn't come out, because you think about it. Bush is not even going to really show up at the Republican Party outside of make a little funky. And you know, I don't know if you heard this, but Dick Cheney now is like off the table. He's not going to be even at the Republican convention. So then you're going to put this boy McCain up there to give a speech. I don't see how they're energized as a base. I just don't see it. When I look on the other side, I see Obama, you know, first black president, mixed race president, I'd rather say. And I just see all the young people out there motivated. I see the buttons. It's just more energy, man. People, you know. And then we got the economy. I don't see any way that Obama loses this election. If he loses this election, it's only one thing. And it would just be that white people in this country are very, very, very racist. And more so than I thought in more numbers. And I don't even think that's enough. I don't think the case that most Americans are that racist in this country. I think you got a few, but I'm not buying it. So.
Well, I appreciate your optimism, and I appreciate your ability to make sure that I don't run out on the ledge, because I'm as susceptible to it as anybody, Gary. But I'm just trying to sit back and I do want to see. Now, I won't kid you. I want to see him fighting back in earnest. Now, if he's decided that he'll start the fight at the convention, then that's his strategic choice to make. But I do want to see some counterpunching.
Yeah, but the problem is he's getting in with those Democrats. I saw him with Nancy Pelosi the other day, and I said, man, you got to get away from them. You know, don't sit there and have drinks with them too long. You know what I mean? Don't stay and watch too long, bro. Get back out in the street and talk to people. Because you stay there with Nancy and them, man, they start telling you how things work, and next thing you know, you're softening your stand. I agree with you, man. He's got to come hard at Bush. This is ridiculous.
And you know, whether it's the drilling or the 2008 equivalent of the Purple Heart Band-Aid, you know, the tire gauge thing, it's time to find a meaningful response that really, really puts it right between McCain's teeth. And you know, let's see McCain rock back on his heels. But of course, the other thing to bear in mind with that, Gary, is that some of this actually requires the cooperation of the corporate-controlled media. As was noted to me, I guess, in an email in the last couple of days, we had weeks on end of Reverend Wright, and we can't keep a story of a right-winger going in and shooting up a church alive for a week.
Well, I'd like to see it became Reverend Wright. When is that going to happen? Think that's going to happen?
Now, and what's more, you know, I saw Bill O'Reilly last night while I was sitting in the hospital. I saw Bill O'Reilly having an opinion gasm over Ludacris. All right? But I'm still waiting to see that opinion gasm happen over McCain's dalliance, apparent dalliance, with Toby Keith and Kid Rock.
Not going to happen. We know they're just not.
Yeah, that's the thing. I got a feeling we're going to wait for a long time if we're waiting for that.
Yeah, no, Obama's going up against, people don't really realize, you know, that's why I said, if he does win, this is probably going to be something that you won't see again in your lifetime. Because, like you said, the crap is coming. But you think about all the stuff they've thrown at him so far, and people keep worrying about, oh, Reverend Mike should have took him down, Bob. I mean, they ran this stuff for 6 weeks. Remember that story came out one time?
Yeah.
He gave away speech. We thought it went away. Then it came back again. And, you know, everybody thought, and he came out and gave this little denouncement of Reverend Wright. But he kept going. So, at some point, I think people are going to realize the guy can take a hit. See, my thing is with it is that what I've seen and what I believe is he has a core base that's so strong, and you want to call them true believers or whatever, that nothing that they can throw is going to erode that base. You know what I mean?
Oh, I don't think anything's going to erode the base. I'm concerned, and I don't think the McCain campaign is aiming at that base. The McCain campaign, all these sleazy little ads, as we demonstrated with that polling data, they're aimed at so-called independents and fence sitters.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure out a way to bring those, you know, you said you think they're going to stay home. The McCain campaign is working actively and demonizing Obama as part of it
to find something that brings them out and keeps them from staying home.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is I don't think McCain, since he doesn't have a solid base, now he might be able to pull some evidence, but since he doesn't have a solid base, when Obama really starts to go after him, he's going to pull more Republicans over to him than Democrats over I think you read this election wrong. I'm just saying, you down the street talking to people. Everybody's looking at those independents. And I'm saying, I don't think it's going to really just be the independents really good. I think it's going to be the core base that's going to make this decision. Because the Republicans, I just don't think they're going to come out. I could be wrong. Maybe they're going to do something. But I don't see McCain having a solid base. I think when Obama really goes after him, I think you're going to start to see his Republican base go down. Whereas when McCain, if you notice, and even in the polls, Obama has been ahead in the polls since June. McCain has not even been ahead of him once. And Obama's a first, second, third term senator. What does that say about McCain?
Well, it says that there's not a lot there to get excited about.
Well, yeah, because of Bush. But my point being is that to me it says he doesn't have a base. If you can't get past Obama in the polls, you don't have a base. And if you don't have a base, when Obama's not even attacking him yet, wait until the attack start to come, because I know how he operates. I've watched this thing. You know, they're not attacking him. Now they're just sitting back. When McCain started attacking Obama, I think it was last week, they said they got a record number of donors last week. I think they said they got 100,000 in one day. And I saw this with Clinton. When Clinton was going on the negative, people just started getting pissed off, and they would go online and say, okay, you want to get negative? Here, we're going to keep donating. You know what I mean? So Obama sits back and says, okay, we'll just keep collecting dough, keep going negative. You know what I mean? It's kind of like you're feeding his machine, going negative on him. And now he has all the money to run all these ads on you later on. And that's just how I see it. It's a wokadope. It's a classic wokadope strategy.
Yeah, I think that's a great analogy. And then come out with a flurry of punches that hopefully put McCain on the canvas.
Not McCain, the Bush legacy.
Well, I see him as one and the same thing, Kerry. I mean,
No. I want the whole Republican Party down.
Oh yeah, no. That I get. I want the Republicans in full retreat, and this time I want us to run them to the ground and make sure that they don't get up.
Yeah, for 20 years, not for like election cycle, for 20 years.
Yeah.
New deal.
Because it'll take us that long to fix stuff, going back to what you were talking about at the beginning of our conversation. It'll take us that long, Gary, to fix stuff. This is what we face right now as a result of the Bush administration is not a short-term fix. It is a generational solution.
Yeah.
And it's a multifaceted solution that requires the same kind of determination that we had when Kennedy said we'll be on the moon in 10 years and we got there ahead of schedule.
Well, just like the Republican Great Depression of 1930. You know, we came later on with a new deal. I mean, that's what's going to happen. And people better get smart very quickly, because, like I said before, if McCain does get elected by some mishap or whatever, I mean, you might as well just start thinking about getting a passport. I mean, you know, he was ragging on Obama today, talking about Obama's retreating on nuclear energy, because, you know, Obama's been kind of backing off that and clean coal lately. So, you know, McCain is going after him on that. So, you know, we will see where that goes. But
and frankly, I didn't have the hissy that others had, Gary, when Obama said what he said about offshore drilling, because among other things, I guess I see it through my own lens, and that is I can well envision sitting down with these people who are so eager to drill and say, okay, you want to drill? How badly do you want to drill? And then put a series of concessions and conditions in front of them that'll take the urge to drill right out of them. For instance,
well,
say to him...
He didn't agree with it. He said he didn't agree with it, but he would compromise if that's what it takes to get things done.
Right, and that's what I'm getting at. If he looks at him and says, okay, for every dollar the oil companies spend on drilling, you're going to pass legislation for the federal government to spend $20 on, or $100 on solar and wind and solar geothermal and, you know, real non-petroleum-based energy source relief. For every dollar that the oil company spends on drilling, we're going to spend $1,000 creating incentives for people to put solar panels on their roofs and wind turbines above their houses. You know, for every dollar the oil company spends, we're going to spend $1,000 on creating green carbon neutral energy accumulating green roof spaces in American cities. Now, see, I wouldn't call that a compromise. I would call that a piece of absolute genius. Make these people come to you. They want to drill so bad? Fine. But by the time you're done drilling, your oil ain't going to be worth nothing.
Well, you know, I was reading the New York Times to that point. I was reading the New York Times and just getting back really with this energy thing, because what's happening right now, I know for a fact that McCain, now that the clean coal and nuclear people, you know, all the energy people are not trying to send money to his campaign because, you know, they're trying to obviously cut some deals in there, you know, or at least try to hopefully get some deals going with him. And I think that's why he's coming out against Obama, with, you know, like he's talking about stopping nuclear energy and clean coal and all that other stuff, because obviously he's getting money. It's coming out that he's getting money from these companies all of a sudden the last couple of weeks. So, but I think that something I read in the New York Times about Obama, the student, they did this article on him about his students, former students. And they were saying how, like, when he was teaching them, they get into long debates. And one of the students, you know, made this observation, because, you know, she said, I watch him now, and it's like, I can tell he's so dumbing down what he really thinks. Because he says, when we were in school, he was just brilliant to sit there and have those long, you know, academic discussions with him. The guy has a brain. We need a president that has a brain for one. That's what we need. We need somebody who can think.
That's the point. 8 years of butt ugly ignorance has gotten us into this fix, and 4 more years of butt ugly ignorance. See, I haven't heard anybody else say it. Maybe they have. Maybe I'm just not listening. But I haven't heard anybody else say what I'm saying, Gary, and that is John McCain is dumber than George Bush. And that point needs to be driven home.
I would say come out and say, I mean, what it was, 899 people in his class? He was 894.
That's why I call him old 894.
894.
You know, 894 out of 899.
Okay, well, okay, we know he's pardoning a little bit and doing some stuff. He probably could do a little bit better. But still, 894 is 894. Obama was like number one. I think he was like, what, number two or number one maybe in his class.
Yeah, or even in comparing apples with apples. There's John McCain. John McCain was 894th in his class at Annapolis. We've had another Annapolis graduate who occupied the White House of the United States, a man by the name of Carter. You know where Carter graduated in his class at Annapolis?
No.
47th. Mm. Out of 1,000 and some.
Mm.
Now, you tell me. Carter manifested his intelligence. You know, if we'd listened to Carter about energy, if America had listened to him about energy when Carter was president, we wouldn't be having this discussion right now, Gary.
Well, you know, McCain's just a manufactured kind of, you know, thing. You know, it's like, you know, the other day I was watching the mainstream media, and this kind of just really kind of annoys me. And this is something to go to, you know, I put a little bit of a racial perspective on it. There's this thing I've always said about, you know, black men had a thing with gangster rap, and people always say black men gangster rap. But white men always had a thing with John Wayne. And, you know, I was sitting there watching the Talking Head talk, and as soon as they was like talking about this negative campaign, I think it was Andrea Mitchell, she said, she was going, well, you know, what I really think is that McCain really was not really running this campaign. He really didn't know that they were doing these negative ads. And then both of the heads, you know, both of the white male heads started shaking. Yes, yes. It's like I saw it, you know, I see it all the time. Here we go again. Here we go again. Let's give the white guy a pass. Let's give the white male that we identify with a pass. Let's give the white male that we kind of think that we all should be a pass. That's what this is about, man. It's about making somebody this myth of whatever.
It's about white guy affirmative action, Gary.
Yeah, yeah, but you know, I'm trying to break it down. I mean, I'm not a white male, so it's hard for me to break it down, but I think you kind of understand what I'm saying.
I do. That's what I'm saying. This is
what?
Yeah. I mean, is there anybody, or maybe it's not white guy, it's green guy, you know, money guy. This is affirmative action for the moneyed class. John,
that's what I'm saying. I'm saying that, you know, there's a lot of competent white males who went through this whole process, and none of them made it, you know. You know, Republican side, you can question, but I'm just saying, you know, whether it was John Edwards or whatever. But my point being is that when it's down to two, I've always seen this. It's down to two. There's always this thing where we got to pop this other person up, like you're saying, affirmative action. We got to even it out. But if it's the other way around, if it's a woman next to, let's say, Hillary Clinton next to John McCain, it's the same deal. Whether it's a black man, you know what I'm saying?
Sure.
You always have, they would put her down just as quick.
Yeah, look, I don't know if you can say it would be uglier, but I have no problem saying that were Hillary the nominee, it would be every bit as ugly as what it is now, and it might actually be uglier.
No, it'd be uglier. So she's Clinton, and they have.
Yeah, Dan Burton would be off in Indiana somewhere shooting watermelons again to prove that she killed Vince Foster. Yeah, you know, that's the classic example, and I have no doubt that that is absolutely true.
Yeah, and that's why when you look at John Edwards, what was the idea of the deal with John Edwards? Here's a guy, white male, smart, brilliant, or whatever. What do? Let's make him into a girly man. Let's make him not be the white male image that we like.
Yeah, they literally emasculated him.
Exactly.
Over a haircut.
They did with Kerry. The same thing they did with Kerry. That's what they do. They make him in to know you're not the white male image that we like. You're not the John. That's what I'm talking about, this whole John Wayne thing.
And yeah. And this, you know, that's another way to look at the stupid ads out of McCain these days. Yes, I personally believe there is an element of Barack Obama going to get the white women in the Britney Spears ad. I believe that. There's no convincing me otherwise of it because I know it too well. I've seen it too much, and I recognize it from 10 miles out, all right? But with that having been said, Gary, there is also it is also true that this is more of the same in the same vein, and that is an attempt to feminize, literally, any Democratic male nominee. And the proof in the pudding, I suppose, is that were it Hillary, you would see the exact opposite. They would be trying to butch her up. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So,
yeah, that's what I'm saying, exactly.
They're not original. These attacks on Obama are not original. Whether it's making... Yeah, you know, making light of his brains. You know what? Telling people something, if you tell people something that simple that they can do to begin to have a positive impact on a negative situation, that is genius. That is highly intelligent. Okay? Like, you know, make sure your tires are properly inflated. Now, who makes fun of that? The ignorant schoolyard bully makes fun of that. And that's how we have to convey our response to this.
Well, I think what you said the other night, I think it's funny because when we talked last, I think after I hung up the phone the other night, the last thing I remember you said to me that, you know, that you said white woman. I said, what are you talking about? And you said, they're praying for Obama to get caught with a white woman. Now, the next day, McCain runs the ad.
Oh, am I good or what? I didn't even notice the connection. Thanks, Gary. I'm feeling even better.
You said it today. I thought when I saw the ad, I thought about what you said. Because I thought about what you said that night. I was thinking, I just thought to myself, I will kill Obama. I can say that. I would jump on Obama if he messes with a white woman right now.
Right, but see, he doesn't have to be caught with her. All they have to do is create the impression.
Yeah, and that's what that was about. People keep running around talking about that. No, that ad was about, they were trying to create the impression of a white woman as a black male. They could use any other celebrity. Why go pick two blonde white women? You know?
There you go. Yeah. Precisely. Well, Gary, I've got to run on. This has been a lovely conversation. I really appreciate you calling in this evening because we managed to cover a lot of turf when you call in.
Yeah. That's why I don't call too much.
Thank you so much, Gary. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Sir.
Bye now. Calling from Maryland, our pal Gary. And we really do cover a lot of turf. And I didn't realize I had done that. But, I mean, I remember talking with Gary and saying, you know, that, yeah, the Republican Party falls asleep every night going, white woman, white woman, white woman, white woman, white woman. And then what? It's a matter of days and the white woman commercial comes out? Phew. I don't know. Maybe there's a new coat of turtle wax on Bob's Magic 8-Ball, and it's not saying answer hazy ask again later these days. Wow. So thanks for remembering that, Gary. That pretty much does it for the show this evening. Thank you, everybody, for joining in. God willing, the crick don't rise. I'll be here tomorrow night for prayer meeting. Thursday is up in the air, as I said. Thursday is up in the air simply because I don't know if I will be here since I'm going to the dock and it's a work-in thing, and be here at 10:30 and be when you're there at 10:30 and you're getting worked in. God only knows when you actually get seen. But I will do everything in my power to be here Thursday, and maybe I'll know something then about, you know, what happens a week or 2 weeks down the road. So stay tuned for the latest breaking news from Bob's adventures in the medical community. And, you know, I'm grateful for the fact that I can go to the doctor at all. There are 47, 49, 51 million Americans who can't. And, you know, it takes a lot to make me go out the door and head to the emergency room. The pain I had last night, I can't imagine trying to just lay there and gut it out and hope that it goes away. But it happens. It happened to me. It happens every day in this country in one form or another. But John McCain can't have a conversation about that. Oh, no. Hell no. John McCain can't have that conversation. John McCain wants to talk about tire gauges and how funny and stupid it is to suggest that one take a highly complicated vehicle that runs on an incredibly complicated set of principles that require, not least among which, properly inflated tires. John McCain wants to turn that into a joke. The question is how many Americans are laughing with him versus how many Americans are laughing at him. And then that segment of Americans who, like me and like you, are scratching our heads going, holy hell, everything counts. Just like the generation that won World War II, a saved, recycled lid to a soup can counts. Ladies back then, if they had a pair of hose in the first place, if they got a run in it, the hose got recycled. If they didn't have hosiery, they waited until they had the ration stamps to maybe get a pair if any were available. Everything counts. Everything counts in a crisis, and nothing should be discounted. And yet, something, a simple positive statement, a step forward, like checking to make sure your tires are properly inflated, that's a joke. While spending the public treasure to give out leases on the outer continental shelf, you know, that's your outer continental shelf, not Exxon's. That, on the other hand, well, that's it for the Republican Party. They will swallow a mountain and gag on a gnat. That's their problem. Thank you all for joining me this evening. That's it for live programming today. Peter Godbold is a rerun. The rest of the schedule is a rerun this evening because I'm going to try to take it easy a little bit and, you know, get back up to strength and maybe get undopey. Thank you very much to all the people who make the horn go, from the moderators to the news ninjas to the bloggers, to John Fox, Peter Godbold, Ben Birch. Many thanks always to our sponsor, Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net, the hardest working, bravest people I know, standing up in the face of monsters to help save not just their region of the country, not just this region of the country, but the whole country and, in fact, the world from the depredations of mountaintop removal. Thank you to all of you for your calls, your emails. Thank you for listening, downloading. Thank you to those of you who step up and stand shoulder to shoulder every month to make sure that the Head On Radio Network stays on the air. We sincerely appreciate it. And if you can step up, we need you to step up, because July was a bad month. And that's not to denigrate in any way what you all have done to keep it going, but it was a month of dire shortfalls. So if you've never contributed before, we would sincerely appreciate it if you're able, but only if you're able. And if you do contribute, you have our heartfelt thanks. And always, 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 RMR, Gina, it's all for you.